ശ്രീപാദപരമഹംസപരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാൽ ജയമത്രീല പ്രകൃഷ്ടപുഷ്പാൽ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തി സിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാൽ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാമണി ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് പായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശിശുണ്യമാരിണി
ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
സംസാര സാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനഹാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗ്രഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ ഉത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ ധർമ്മപ്രോജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരേശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യ നേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗണിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായാം വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദി ഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമധ്യമാ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനു ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുദ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂകുണിതാധൃതാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കണികാവി കാവി കാവി నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణి శ్రీమద్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ వందే నంద ప్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశాం వ్యాసం హరిగతో గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీ చరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి కోమలం పూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారకా వేదవేత్తిపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాచాళం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీరాధయాయ నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రంథాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వా మనుసంతదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం నమోస్తు వ్యాసవిశాలబుద్ధే కుందారవిందాయతమత్రనేత్రం యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపా ప్రపన్నవారిజాతాయ స్తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వవర్షదోగావో దుర్గాగోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్ససుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంసచానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం విష్పద్రోణగదా జయద్రథజల గాంధారనీలోల్బల శల్యగ్రాహవతీ కృపేణ మహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామావికర్ణ ఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవచ సరోజమలం ఈనాథగంధోల్కటం నానాధ్యానక కేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన సల్పదైరహరః ప్రదీయమానముదం భూయాద్ భారతమంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూలం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదం స్వన్వందినివేస్తవైర్ వేదేర్ సాంగపదేర్ క్రమౌ మనిషదేర్ గాయంతియం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థితతద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాన్నం న విదుస్సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. Yesterday we were talking about Shraddha, isn't it? Shraddha, that was the topic. This Shraddha Travibhaya Yogam chapter refers to Shraddha Krishna has spoken. Before concluding Bhagavad Gita, Krishna wanted to give lot of importance to Shraddha because it's based on Shraddha, spiritual life goes on, runs in this world. So, we mentioned there yesterday that in the Sanatana Dharmam, spiritual life is Vyakti Nishtam. Vyakti Nishtam means it's individually based. It's not based on the society or Samuhyam. In other words, socially based, or it's not community based, it's individually based. This is an important point, because you can see here that a realized soul who has freed himself from the influence of the three modes of material nature, he can do a lot more good to this world than a community which is half-baked, which hasn't gone very far in spiritual path. And also, due to various reasons, I mentioned yesterday that the asuric vasana in us collectively starts operating in societies as well as in institutions. And therefore, the rishis never encouraged this philosophy of institutionalized system. They never gave importance to that. So, we also talked about this, that what does Shraddha mean? Aloka Pratipadyata. That means that when we realize that self, that the material existence of the material world completely disappears. As we mentioned yesterday, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayasakta Manapartha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya Asamshayam Samagramam Yadha Jnasyasi Tatshrunu. Samagramam Yadha Jnasyasi. That Samagra Jnanam. What does that mean? That means, that Samagra Jnanam means that generally in the yoga state, when one has closed his eyes and in the dhyanam state, he is in reflection of the self inside. In other words, he is Brahman realization stage. He is endeavoring for that. But while doing that, the avara prakriti which is present outside, once he opens his eyes, he is in contact with the avara prakriti. So only the para prakriti he is able to relate with, but with avara prakriti he loses that contact. In other words, Krishna is saying to us, That samagra jnanam, while you are in the para prakriti or in the avara prakriti, still able to maintain the realization of the self. In order to do that, Krishna says that yogam yunjan madashraya, take Krishna's shelter. Depending on Krishna's grace or Krishna's shelter, one should take to spiritual life. One should engage in sadhana. That is what we told yesterday. Isn't it? So, that power which can take us to that stage of realization is called Shraddha. Shraddha is that power which is capable of carrying us towards that state of realization where either in the Paraprakriti or in the Avaraprakriti we still remain in the platform of transcendence, in the spiritual platform. So, it is actually the Shraddha that an Acharya wakes up in someone. That is Acharya's responsibility, to wake up the Shraddha in everyone. Shraddha in everyone. So, when Acharya is instructing a devotee or a sadhaka or a person who is inquiring after the truth, it's not like taking a lesson or a class or a course, because there what's happening is that whatever the teacher is speaking or lecturing, that is absorbed by the mind as well as the intelligence. There is no waking up of Shraddha in the person. The one who has come to inquiring about the truth from the Acharya, when the Acharya is speaking to him, there is no waking up of the Shraddha power inside. All what's happening is, whatever that is spoken by the teacher or the lecturer, that is being absorbed by the mind and the intelligence, and it is kept in the memory, or it is analyzed later again with the intelligence. It's not going on to the spiritual platform. While talking about Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, the principle is that when Acharya is speaking or instructing the knowledge of the self to the devotee, at that point his Shraddha Shakti, whose Shraddha Shakti, the disciples or the devotees or the person who is inquiring after the truth, his Shraddha Shakti wakes up inside. His Shraddha Shakti wakes up inside, and that is the most important thing. So you can see this in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
When Parikshit Maharaj was referring to, Parikshit was having conversation with Sukadeva Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj asked that question to Sukadeva Goswami, and he mentions that there, that Parikshit asked this question to, if you look in the 10th canto, you will see there this issue, this topic being discussed. In the first chapter itself, evam nishamya bhrugunandana sadhuvadam, that's the first chapter, 14th verse. Vayasaki sa bhagavanatha vishnuratha pratyarchya krishna jaridam kaligalmashagnam vyahartum aryavada bhagavada pradhanaham. That Sudha Goswami says there that when Shiva Brahmarshi was speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, first Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami offered respects to Parikshit Maharaj. This is quite an unusual thing, is it not? Parikshit Maharaj is offering respects to, Shiva Brahmarshi is offering respects to Parikshit Maharaj. You can see in that verse, evam nishamya bhrugunandana sadhuvadam vayasagisa bhagavanatha vishnuradam pratyarchya krishna jaridam. Pratyarchya means he offered his respects to him. To whom? To Parikshit. Why did he offer his respects to Parikshit? Because Shiva Brahmarshi knew very well that unless the Shraddha Shakti in Parikshit wakes up, whatever Shiva Brahmarshi is speaking, it will not have its effect on Parikshit. This is the reason. You see, this is an important thing. This is where we differ from the... That is why we say that these courses and seminars and lectures is not the way to go in spiritual path. Spiritual path, the Shraddha Shakti in the person who is listening must wake up from inside. And in order to wake up that, Shiva Brahmarshi offers respects to Parikshit Maharaj. In what way? Not to Parikshit personally, but the Shraddha Shakti in Parikshit to wake up. That is what it is. That is what it's saying here. Evam nishamya bhrigunandana sadhuvadam vayasagisa bhagavanatha vishnuradam pratyarcha krishna jaridam kaligalma shagnam vyahartum arabhada bhagavada pradhanam. That pratyarcha krishna jaridam, pratyarcha means he offered his archana or respects to the Andaryami inside Parikshit. Andaryami inside Parikshit. This is the system in Bhagavata Dharmam, is in that way. Because if Krishna has woken up inside the listener, and everything what is spoken, Krishna will listen to it. Andaryami will listen to it. That is the Bhagavata Sampradaya. Bhagavata system is like that. There should not be a person who is speaking either. And similarly, there should not be a person who is listening. That is not there in the Bhagavata tradition. That both speaking and listening is Krishna. Krishna is speaking from within the heart, and Krishna is listening from within the heart of the listener. Krishna has to speak from the within the heart of the speaker, and Krishna has to listen from the heart of the listener. This is the Bhagavata system. This we have spoken many times before. In the Bhagavadam, when they end the Srimal Bhagavadam, there is a famous verse. Kasmayena vibhasitoyamatulo jnana pradipa puram tadruvena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tadruvina yogi indraya tadalmanadha bhagavadradaya karunyadam tachuddham vimalam vishogamamrdam satyam param dhimahi. This verse is a proof of that. Kasmayena vibhasitoyamatulo jnana pradipa puram. Again, you can see there, tadruvena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tadruvina. So, tadruvena tadalmana, tadruvena tadalmana. That is how the flow is, isn't it? So, the person who has spoken Bhagavadam, he is tadruvam, and the person who has received Bhagavadam, he is tadalma. Tadalma. So, therefore, it says that, that as in that verse says that Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma. Krishna sitting inside as Brahma's heart heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Krishna. Krishna sitting in the heart of Brahma spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, and Krishna sitting in the heart of Srinarada Maharshi heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna sitting in the heart of Srinarada Maharshi heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Krishna sitting in the heart of Srinarada Maharshi spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna sitting in the heart of Vedavyas heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna sitting in the heart of Vedavyas spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna sitting in the heart of Sri Shukabrahmarshi heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna sitting in the heart of Srimad Shukabrahmarshi heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna sitting in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam. This is how Krishna is the speaker and Krishna is the listener. So here you can see that kasmai yena vibhasito yamadulo yana pradeepa puraha tadruvena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tadruvinam. You can see tadruvena tadalpanatha, tadruvena tadalpanatha, tadruvena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tadruvinam yogindraya tadalpanatha Bhagavadradaya karunyadam tachuddham vimalam vishokamamrudam satyam param dhimahi. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam began with satyam param dhimahi. Bhagavatam finishes with satyam param dhimahi. So important thing here is that to whom was it given? Actually, if you speak about that, the right way, kaha means, according to the grammar, to whom it was given. Kaha means, it's a special title given to Brahma. Prajapati's Samya, another Samya, because it comes in the third canto earlier, we talked about that. That first time, when Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, that Lord Brahma heard Srimad Bhagavatam, and there we talked about before instruction of creation began, how it happened with that. So, kasmai, kaha, kasmai, given to Brahma. There, you can see in the words, it's not mentioned who has given, it's not mentioned who has received it. In that way, it begins. Everything, Krishna has done it. Krishna gave it, Krishna took it. Krishna gave it, Krishna himself accepted it. Similarly, in all salsangam, everywhere, that is the principle, that Krishna has to speak from the heart of the speaker, and Krishna in the heart of the listener has to take it. Krishna in the heart of the listener has to take it. So in general the principle is that Krishna has to speak and Krishna has to listen. That is the important point. Krishna has to speak and Krishna has to listen. When you start listening, then the problem starts. Because you will say, I have understood. Or you will say, I have not understood. This is not something meant for understanding. That is the problem. This Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita, this is not meant for understanding. That's the first thing. But generally we will say, oh, I have understood everything what you have said. Or you will say, I have not understood anything what you have said. Both of them are wrong. Both of them are saying the wrong thing. It's not meant for understanding. Because if you understand it, then what will happen? Ego will build up inside. And you will start thinking, I have understood, somebody else didn't understand. This will come from that. If you have not understood, then, oh, I did not understand, then an inferior feeling, inferiority feeling will come inside, will come inside. There is nothing to understand here, that the Antaryami inside, who is Krishna, who is within the heart, he will capture it. He will capture it. So important thing is to surrender to that Antaryami, Sharanagati, and to sit and listen. That's the way it has to be done. That's the way to listen to Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Surrender to the Antaryami, Krishna who is within the heart, everyone's heart. Surrender unto him and listen whatever that is spoken. Antaryami has to capture, because this Shraddha Shakti comes from Antaryami. You can't do it. You will do with your mind.
And you will try to capture it with the mind and the intelligence, and then the whole thing goes. It won't do the job. It won't have any effect on the person. This is an important thing. These are the subtleties of the Bhagavadam. That these verses, when we read this chapter, why Krishna has spoken at the very end of Bhagavad Gita, is to make us aware that the spiritual knowledge, spiritual transmission of the knowledge, is completely different than the way material knowledge is transmitted. Material knowledge is all based on how intelligent you are and how focused you are and how concentrated you are and things like that. Here it is completely different. Here it is not how concentrated you are, because concentration is all with the mind. And how intelligent you are, that has no value here. Or with your mind and intelligence, how focused you are, all that has no significance here. What's required in satsangam is always to ignore the mind and intelligence, completely surrender to the Antaryami inside, and leave that responsibility to Antaryami to capture the message of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. That is called Shraddha. That is proper Shravanam. Because that is how it happened to Prahlada, if you remember. In the womb of the mother, was he having a mind and intelligence to capture? What did he have in the womb? Prahlada said this that to indicate to us that spiritual life is not transmitted, knowledge is not transmitted in the same way like material knowledge. We will say, oh, in the womb of the mother he understood that. How could this happen? That's because Krishna present within Prahlada's heart had that Shraddha inside to capture everything what Narada Maharshi spoke from outside. And at the same time, Kayadu, who was listening, nothing worked for Kayadu. She had all the mind and the intelligence, but that was not good enough. It didn't do the job. This is to indicate to us this point, that when we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we have to give up this habit of understanding with the mind and intelligence. This is of no use to at all. So, Prahlada understood, not with the intelligence, isn't it? Similarly, just like Prahlada had Krishna in the heart, we also have Krishna in the heart. We also have Krishna in the heart. And that Shraddha power is in everybody, as the Antaryami has got it. And that power of Krishna, Antaryami, inside is Shraddha. And once that Shraddha Shakti has woken up, even the most complicated thing or the most subtle things in spiritual life will be easily understood. Once that Shraddha Shakti has woken up in a person, then language is even not important then. Even the language is not important. That is why we say that when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, when we read the verses, you shouldn't think, oh, it's not English, so I'm not going to listen to it. That's a nonsense it is. It's a stupidity of the person. It is the very verses of Srimad Bhagavatam that actually goes directly to Krishna inside the heart, Antaryami's heart. That is why the verses are important. You can't ignore the verses. So, therefore, Krishna is saying here that in our own plane of experience, Anubhava Mandalam, that is that Mandalam where Shraddha works. In our plane of experience, that it has to work. It has to work. After knowing all these things, then we have to hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So, when we talk about Shraddha, that is the pure form of the mind. There is no mind there. Shraddha means there is no mind there. There is no mind there. Because mind means it's an impure form of Shraddha. Impure form. Not the pure form. Impure form. In the pure form, it is Shraddha. In the impure form, it is mind. Because by the time it has become mind, it has come out through the senses, and it has completely infected with mundane things, material world, maya, prakriti, modes of nature. Everything has affected it. Whereas Shraddha Shakti, which comes from the soul, Atma Antaryami, that's pure. It can accept that. So when Shraddha gets impure, it becomes mind. And in Shraddha,
when the senses joins in the Shraddha. That means the power of Shraddha which comes through the senses, and then when Sankalpam Vikalpam, you know what that means, Sankalpa Vikalpam, when they join all that, it becomes the mind. That is how it is. When Sankalpa Vikalpam joins and the senses also gets involved, then because senses means sense gratification, sense enjoyment, sense objects, everything comes in. Sense objects means the whole world. All of them gets diluted with the Shraddha Shakti and it becomes mind. That it becomes mind. And from the mind, the senses, and if you remove from the mind the senses and Sankalpa Vikalpam, everything from the mind, mind will become Shraddha. Mind will become Shraddha. And therefore, when we talk about tapasya, tapasya means austerities, means of removing from the mind these senses and Sankalpam and Vikalpam. Sankalpa Vikalpam, you know what it means, isn't it? That is the Sankalpa Vikalpam Mana. That is how mind is defined. Which means that when you have various thoughts coming through, thought waves comes through about anything in this matter, doesn't well, the mind creates different thought waves centered around an object, about a person, things like that. So when you have various thought waves, you will have a number of thought waves coming about a particular object or a particular person or whatever. And when that comes, some of them will be in a favorable way, some of them will be in an unfavorable way. When you start analyzing with the mind, mind has got that nature, isn't it, to analyze things, what we call as analysis of the things. At that time, the favorable thoughts and unfavorable thoughts, they are called Sankalpam and Vikalpam. And what it does is, it creates a mind, creates more thought waves inside. And when that happens, that has become mind. So when we remove those Sankalpam and Vikalpam, and when we remove those senses, why we say senses means, once you say senses, it covers sense objects, sense enjoyment, sense gratification, everything. We will just say senses. That's what senses does, isn't it? So all the senses and all the thought waves, Sankalpa Vikalpam, if they go away, and including, which means once you take all away, along with that the ego also will get out. Ego also will go away. Ahankaram also will go along with that. Because all these things are limitations on the self. Limitations. In Shastram they call the word parichinam. Parichinam is the word. Parichinatvam comes from them. You know, if we have no, because in our realized state of pure consciousness, there is no broken situation, broken conditions. What breaks our universality? Like when you say Shiva Brahma Rishi situation, for example, Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam Muni Mana Tosmi, isn't it? Sarvabhuda Hridayam is present. But when you have a mind, you are limited to one particular body. That's called Parichinatam. Parichinatam means, in our pure form, we also have Sarvabhuda Hridayam Muni Mana Tosmi, that state. Sarvabhuda Hridayam state, everybody has. But because of the presence of the mind and senses, parichinatvam has happened and we have lost our that universal existence of pure consciousness, in other words. So once you have taken away that parichinatvam or that broken conditions or limitations from that, then you cannot say anymore it is mind. You can't say it as mind, and it becomes a very special force. It becomes itself a special force. And that force is coming from the soul directly, and it is Chit Shakti. It is coming from Andaryami, and it is called Shraddha. It is called Shraddha. So everyone has this Shraddha in a very, very subtle level existing in everybody. So you can see this, how this Shraddha operates sometimes. Anything related to divine things, spiritual things, when you engage in that,
this force starts working in us in automatically. Automatically it starts coming out. For example, when you go to the temple, and or when you even when you go to a church or to a mosque, in a natural way, from inside us, a reverential feeling comes, isn't it? When you go into the temple room, for example, you go in a respectful way. You don't walk in like you walk in a football stadium, do you? When you walk in the temple room. You walk in there, while going in, you know the deities are there. And in a natural way, within the heart, a feeling of reverential mood or reverential feeling comes from inside. Where is that coming from? You are not doing it on knowingly. It's not coming from the mind. It's coming from that Shraddha Shakti. That Shraddha Shakti. So that is why great personalities, they wandered around all over Bharatavarsham. Shankaracharya traveled to all the temples, as many as possible, all over the country, all the holy places. Ramanujacharya did exactly the same thing. Went everywhere, to all the temples, wherever they wanted to go, they went. They could have stayed in one place or... But instead, what did they do? They traveled to all the holy places. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of them did the same thing. They would not remain in one place. The reason being that they went to all the holy places, holy rivers, holy spots, and they maintained this principle. Because this is the way it works. That's the way it works. That they respected that because of this, that when they go to these places, naturally their Shraddha Shakti also becomes very affected by the places, where Vrindavanam or Mayapur or Dwaraka or Badrinath, wherever they went, everywhere this Shraddha Shakti becomes very potent in them. And most of them wrote all their famous literature, whatever they have given to us, spiritual literature, all in these holy places. It was all written in the holy places, not anywhere outside. They didn't write comfortably in a 5-star hotel and sit and write there. Everything was written in the holy places, holy rivers, river banks, or in the temples, places like that. So you can see something important here, that highly advanced souls, once they have realized, when they leave this world, when they have gone to reach a very higher state, they won't throw away everything what they have passed through. They have also gone like us, they have also gone before us, but they have also had a ladder to go through. They also had to climb through a ladder. They have gone through different bodies before, and they have accepted in different lifetimes, they have also made progress in their own spiritual path. So, therefore, what they did was, when they have gone forward, they didn't forget about their past. They have left behind the boat for us to use later. You see, that's their grace, kripa, their kripa for us. This is only in advanced people. Very advanced people, what they did was, when they have progressed on the spiritual path, they have left behind all that what they have utilized in their spiritual life for those who are coming in the future. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see this. All there in the Bhagavatam. If you look into the 10th canto, in the 2nd chapter, there Brahma is saying this. Brahma's prayers, he's saying there that if you look into the 2nd chapter, Garbhastuti, Brahma and the demigods comes and pray, offer the prayers. 31, verse 31 in the 2nd chapter, 10-31. Swayam samuttirya sudustaram dhyuman bhavarnavam bhimam adabrasauhadaha bhavalpadamboruhanavamatrate nidhayayata sadanugraho bhavan. This is what that is. Bhavalpadamboruhanavamatrate nidhayayata sadanugraho bhavan. What did they do? Swayam samuttirya sudustaram dhyuman. They have They have come to the ocean of material existence. They wanted to cross that ocean. Material existence, samsaram, is compared to an ocean, isn't it? Sometimes it's compared to an ocean, sometimes it's compared to a forest fire. Samsara dhavana nalithaloka. Otherwise it is compared to an ocean. So when they wanted to cross this ocean of material existence, so when they came, they saw the ocean and they didn't know what to do about it. How to cross this ocean? It is so huge. Bhavarnavam bhimam adabhra sauhradaha. That they wanted to cross that, this huge ocean of material existence. But what did they do? They have taken shelter of great, great acharyas and great devotees. For example, you can see great personalities has given us great literature also, is it not? Shukha Brahmarshi gave us Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna gave us Bhagavad Gita. Villamangalam gave us Krishna Varnamadam. And so on and so forth. So many great, great literature they have left behind. Valmiki gave us Ramayana. So like this, all acharyas have written so much and gave us so much literature. They did gave, that is that, navamatrate, boat, that's a boat. And after a while, they crossed the ocean to the other side. And when they looked back, what did they see? There was no ocean. Ocean didn't exist.
Bhavalpadamboruha namamatrate nidhayayata sadanugraho bhavan.
So they realized it. They took this boat, their own boat, whichever little boat they were travelling. Like Villamangalam travelled in his boat. Krishna Karnamrutam is his boat. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami's boat is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Isn't it? They wrote all this great, great literature. So when they crossed the ocean, they left that boat here. Boat did not go to the other side of the ocean. Boat was there where it started. It didn't go, but they have crossed it. So similarly, suppose you are climbing a building to the top or something through a stairs, through a ladder. You can pull the ladder from the top, isn't it? Then so that nobody else can climb after that. You can pull the ladder. Nobody else climb further. But here, they left the ladder back, or they left the boat back for us. And so through little sadhana like this, then it creates chitta shuddhi inside, the purification of the chittam. And when it gets purified, they become perfect. That is how they become perfect. Fine. All the great souls, you can see that. This is how they have become perfect. They have performed sadhana in different ways. Like, Villamangalam wrote Krishna Dharanamadam, that purified him. He got the purification through that. And many instances that when they have become perfect in spiritual life, in their state of self-realization, they normally, ordinary people, the path through they have comes through that will be forgotten in a normal people's life. Suppose we have people like us, we have gone in spiritual life a little further, let's imagine like that. Then we may not remember very much of our previous struggle in spiritual life in the beginning. And then for many years, what we had to go through, different kinds of turmoil and struggle inside, conflicts and questions and or doubts and things like that. Suppose we go further in spiritual life, these things will disappear, we will forget it. We won't worry about it. So, such people who forget about their previous struggle, previous path, they are not qualified to lead others in spiritual life. Those who remember every step what they had gone through in spiritual life till they have become perfect in their spiritual life, they are the people who are capable of leading others. Why is it like that? There is a reason behind it. You have to understand this, because when we make certain decisions in spiritual life, it's not simply we make a decision based, we make it based on the mind, isn't it? Not knowing the Shastra. Based on the mental platform, make decisions, and that's where everything goes wrong at the end. Everything what we do goes wrong also. So, these personalities who remember every step they have gone through in their spiritual life, they remember that, and when they come to perfection, you will see there that all the imperfections they have gone through will be known to them in their perfectional stage. You see? That means they recognize everything, all the imperfections, what they have gone through. And therefore, when everything is included in them, in their perfection, that is why they are perfect. Because all the imperfections of the path they have gone through in their early life, not only in this life, even in previous lifetimes, what they went through, they will be conscious of that in them. They'll be conscious of that. So, you can see this in great souls, if you look at them, that they will, when they become perfect, if any imperfect person, a new person comes to them, he will not see their imperfections. He will not see that. Why? What is the reason? Because those imperfections he has gone through, so he is not affected by that. He is not affected by that. So anybody who goes to such people, when they go to them, they will see a different experience. Paul Brendan mentions this in his book. He mentions there that when he went to Ramana Maharshi, he says there that I have done a lot of wrong things in my life in the past before I saw the Maharshi. And many mistakes I have done, and I was covering them up within me. I was covering it up. But when I got close to him, I saw that he knew everything what I had done in my past, without me telling him anything. But one thing was that I was not disturbed over that he knew about it. I was not disturbed about it. Because that he was able to identify, Maharshi was able to identify with all the difficulties what Paul Brendan had gone through in his life, not only in this life, in previous life, because Maharshi had also gone through them. So he had felt no superiority or anything. He felt that in the sadhana level, when one is growing in the spiritual path, this stage will happen to everyone. So is this, whereas those who cannot remember their previous difficulties in spiritual life, they will think, they will not be able to relate with a person properly. Suppose you knew that these are the difficulties, that is why very advanced souls, they do not have this difficulty. They have gone to that stage that grace or identification, they can identify with you easily. When we go to them, they can identify with us easily without any difficulty. Whereas we will go there thinking that, oh, I have got all this baggage in me, I have done so many wrong things in my life, how will they see my situation, how they are going to judge me, all this fear will come in our mind, isn't it? When you go to a very great personality like that. But what it means is that in this situation, that because they have that capacity to identify with us very easily. For example, if a householder goes to see a spiritually realized soul, he will talk to the householder exactly like he is a householder. He won't say, look, you're a householder, I'm a sannyasi, so I can't talk to you. Or don't bring me all your problems to me. That is not the right thing. That's not the right thing. That moment, he should be able to come to the level of a householder. Not discuss mundane topics, But to realize the difficulties of a householder life and what help that householder needs from that spiritually realized person. He should be able to relate with him in that way. Only such a person should be able to give spiritual instructions. Otherwise not. Otherwise not. That is why when a cow goes to him, cow is not seeing him as a spiritually advanced soul, nothing. Cow is seeing similar that me, another cow is standing there. The cow will see in that way. That is why cow doesn't have any difficulty in relating with him. A tiger doesn't have any difficulty in relating, because when the tiger comes to him, he is seeing in that person. We are only seeing the body, nothing else. But the impact of that person that who creates that on the visiting person will be in the same level. In the same level. Either cow will he will see as a cow, a tiger will see as a tiger, a dog will see as a dog there. Dog standing there. This is all important thing. And there are two reasons behind it. That is what is called Sarvatma Bhavam. Sarvatma Bhavam means that if it happens in the person, that Sarvatma Bhavam, because he is not seeing the dog anymore as a dog also. Because of his realization, the dog is not experiencing any difficulty while relating with the self-realized soul. He will see that on the same path. Because you have to remember, one thing is the Sarvatma Bhavam, when it comes, as you have mentioned before, Tam Sarvabhuta Hridayam Muni Manatosmi, isn't it? That is Sarvatma Bhavam. That in all presence in all everyone, that is called Sarvatma Bhavam. Sarvabhuta Hridayam. That Shiva Brahmarshi mentions that. That Sudha Goswami says about him. That he is present in everyone. That is Sarvatmatvam. That I am the one who is present in everyone. That awareness comes there. That is one. Secondly, because he had gone through different wombs, different species and different wombs, there will be a small element of that still remaining inside. In that person. That I have gone through this 8.4 million different species. I have gone through that. So, because he has gone through that, he will remember that, and therefore, he can remember that I was in that body once, in the form of a dog, or a cat, or a tiger, or an elephant. That remembrance of that capacity to remember. We don't remember anything, isn't it? We only remember what we are today. That's all. So this capacity is present in them. One thing is the Sarvatmatvam, and secondly, ability to not to forget when they pass through the other species, other wombs of the other species of the 8.4 million. We think, oh, they are all useless. We were also like that one day. We come through that body we left behind as a snake or a tiger or whatever, it is all gone through. No, nothing is there superior here to say anything about it. We have also gone through the same body. One day we were also like a snake, we were moving around on the ground. And so that is important thing. That Krishna is, and similarly, he will also remember that he was also a materialistic person once. He will know that. Laugiyam. And similarly, he will also remember that he was a tapasvi, performing austerities and penances. All that different stages in spiritual life will be known to him. That such a person is capable of giving transcendental knowledge to others. Only such a person. So when we have control of the senses, he knows what it is like. When we don't have the control of the senses, he knows that also, what it is like. What it is like. And knowledge of Panditan Pamaram, that means one who is well-learned or one who is ignorant. Similarly, male, female, he has been that also. He has been an ignorant person and he was a scholar, well-learned person. He was a male form, he was there, and he was in the female form as well. So therefore, you can go to that person. One who has all this understanding, because he can understand everybody. He can understand. Understand means he knows what it is like being in a body like that, isn't it? And that is called Purnatvam, perfection. That is called perfection. Because the same vastu inside is turning into Shraddha or to mind. It is the same vastu, Chitshakti, that turns into Shraddha as well as the mind. So that is our topic here, isn't it? What is Shraddha means? So Shraddha, when it becomes very fine in everybody, when it becomes very, very fine inside, when Arjuna asked this question to Krishna in the 6th chapter, do you remember that? Arjuna asked this question. So what was Arjuna's question? Arjuna's question was this, that some people are performing sadhana in this world, and before it became perfect, they died. Remember that question in the 6th chapter? Let's look at that question. And what will happen to them? That is what Arjuna asked the question. Arjuna is saying there that Ayati, this is you have to understand this properly, because when we talk about Shraddha, remember what I have spoken now. Who is qualified to take the position of an acharya or a spiritual master? It is that person only who has that capacity. First of all, he must be realized, self-realized, number one. Then he must have the ability to relate with any living entity who comes to him. That person must be able to relate with him. He shouldn't think, oh, I am a guru, I got the stamp now, or certificate. So, he is nothing. Who is he? That's not guru's relationship with the disciple. Unfortunately, all these things are not understood, not taken seriously also. That's where the problem is. The spiritual relationship is completely different. It's much more sublime than a husband-wife relationship or father-son relationship. Because you have to remember that this is the relationship that connects us with Krishna, is it not? The spiritual master is the person who connects us with Krishna. If it is like that, that person must have all these qualifications. And this is one of the important qualifications, that anyone who comes to him, he should be able, whether it, no matter, as long as there is life in that body, dog, cat, or elephant, or tiger, or any man, woman, doesn't matter, poor, rich man, no matter who it is, he should be able to relate with that person and not able to not feel any superiority or inferiority with him, able to deal with that person. That sarvatma bhavam, one reason. That means tam sarvabhuta hridayam muni manatosmi, that is one reason. And secondly, because he would have a small element of all his travel through different bodies in him. Therefore, he won't have any difficulty in relating with any different species of life. Even that is required in the spiritual master. That is why Arjuna asked that question, that ayadhi shraddhayo vedo yoga chalida manasa aprapya yoga samsiddhim kamgadim krishna gacchadi. That was Arjuna's question. Look at that. Ayadhi shraddhayo vedo yoga chalida manasa aprapya yoga samsiddhim kamgadim krishna gacchadi. The 37th verses. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism? This was the question from Arjuna, is it not? This was the question from Arjuna. So, and then he mentioned there that what will happen to him, because just like the when a lot of wind comes in the sky, all the clouds gets broken up and and thrown away in different directions, isn't it? Will it happen like that for him? Will it happen like that? So, and that is why he mentions there, next verse if you look, you'll see, he is asking that, kachinno bhaya vibhrastas chinnabhram eva nashyati apradishto mahabaho vimudho brahmanapadhi. Vimudho brahmanapadhi. He says, kachinno bhaya vibhrastas chinnabhram eva nashyati apradishto mahabaho vimudho brahmanapadhi. O mighty armed Krishna, does not such a man who is bewildered from the path of transcendence fall away from both spiritual and material success and perish like a riven cloud with no position in any sphere. So this is an interesting question, isn't it? He's asking there that when the wind comes, the cloud gets thrown away in different way. Will that same thing happen to him? Because it says here, vimodho brahmanapathi. Vimodho brahmanapathi. What does that mean? Vimodho brahmanapathi means he didn't realize the self. Brahmajnanam did not happen to him. He didn't become a brahmajnani. Brahman realization didn't happen to him because he lost the track. He lost the track. What will happen to him? That is the question. What will happen to him? That's the question, isn't it? Krishna says there at that time that you don't have to worry in that situation. Why? If you look into the 40th verse, Krishna answers that. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Partha Naiveha Namutra Vinishastasya Vidyade Nahi Kalyanakal Kaschil Durgadim Tadagachadi. That is the answer. That Partha Naiveha Namutra Vinashastasya Vidyade Nahigalyanakral Kaschil Durgadim Tadagachari. The Supreme Personality of God, it said, Son of Pratham, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with the destruction, either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. That was the answer Krishna has given at that time. So if you have done something auspicious in spiritual life, it is never lost. It is never lost. For example, say if you have chanted Hare Krishna once, even that is not lost. Why? It will go inside and stay there as a vasana. But it may be very small vasana inside, but it will remain there. It was not never lost. That is important principle. Even if you have chanted the holy name once, it will go inside and stay there. So if it is like that, suppose you have cultivated spiritual life whole lifetime and that samskaram of bhakti has developed, it will remain inside. Bhakti samskaram will remain inside. So one who has done a lot of sadhana in that way, even if somehow or the other a slip happens in his life, that some prarabdham has happened and then he fell in his life, doesn't matter. That is what Krishna answered to, because Arjuna asked that question about Shraddha, isn't it? Arjuna's question was that Ayati Shraddhayo Vedo Yoga Chalidam Anasa and Aprape Yoga Samsiddhim Kangadi Krishna Gachadi. Suppose one Arjuna had Shraddha, is Arjuna's question is someone had Shraddha, but he could not become perfect in this life. Shraddha was there. Due to some prarabdham, he fell in life. What is his destination? This was Arjuna's question. Will that happen to him like a cloud? He is completely gone. And then he has gone back to lower species. Krishna is saying, no, it's not like that. It doesn't work like that in spiritual life. Even the smallest thing what we have done in spiritual life, it will go inside and remain as a vasana there in the subtle body. The subtle body is such a powerful thing that so many lifetimes vasanas can be kept there, including whatever we are doing now, and everything goes into that drive or hard drive. It goes and stays there and it gets stacked up in that place and it will come out. So therefore one who has executed spiritual life throughout all life, but still due to some prarabdham he fell, sometimes it happens. Then what is his destination? That is what Krishna is saying here.
that Shraddha Shakti is like that. Shraddha Shakti is like that. Because that's what Arjuna asked about Shraddha. That's what he was saying here. Like Bharata Maharaj, Bharata Yogeshwara. This is what happened to him, isn't it? That even though he had to take the birth of a deer, that previous samskaram and previous tapas, austerities, what he has done in the emperor's body, that followed him in the deer's body. Followed him in the deer's body and he remained there. He remembered that. And when he had to accept the third body, three times he had to take birth, isn't it? Bharata Yogeshwara's life, then the Janabrata's life, sorry, the deer life, and then the birth of the Brahmana, Jadabharata's body. So in the Jadabharata's body, when he came, he was perfect. He knew that he was a deer in previous life. You see that? He knew he was a deer in previous life. And he also knew that he was Emperor Bharata. He knew all these things. So therefore, Bharata Yogeshwara is perfect. Jadabharata is qualified to give transcendental instructions to others. And he knows what has happened to him. So if it has happened to him, when somebody else comes, he won't look at down upon him. He will see, this has happened to me and this can happen to anybody. Is it not? That understanding will be there. That is why it is said, such personalities who have come to that perfection stage but passing through different bodies, they are capable, they are competent to give spiritual knowledge to others, not otherwise. And that is expected in the case of a spiritual master. These things are expected. It's there or not, that's another thing, but it's expected. That's all. So, Krishna is saying there that he says there, even if they have left the body, if you look into that verse again, 41 and 42, if you look at the same chapter, Krishna is saying there that prapya punyakradam lokan ushitva shashvadei sama shuchinam shrimadam gehe yoga brashtobhi jayate athava yoginam eva kule bhavadi dhimatam edhadi durlabharam loke janma yadidrisham. Those two verses. Prapya punya kratam logan ushitva shashvadei samaha shuchinam shrimadam gehe yoga brashtobhi jayate. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. That Shuchinam Shrimadam Gehe Yoga Brashtobhi Jayade. He is offered a body in a family where there is a possibility of making further progress in the spiritual path. Shuchinam Shrimadam Gehe Yoga Brashtobhi Jayade. Then he says, athava yogina meva kule bhavati dhimadam etad dhi durlabhadaram loge janma yadidrisham. Or if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. Krishna says, such a birth is rare in this world. So, normally, you will see these personalities who are yoga brashta. Yoga brashtobhi jayade, Krishna says. These yoga brashtas, their yoga sadhana, what they have performed, will perform in this life, they will be given a very favorable environment. Favorable environment. That means there will be a good opportunity for engaging in yoga sadhana. They will have a good opportunity to cultivate spiritual knowledge. Alpajnanam, knowledge of the self, and yoga sadhana, these two things, they will have very favorable situation for that. So, and in a very short period, they will become very, they will be very well versed in the all the shastrams, in the all the shastram. So, this is, that Shastrajnanam, knowledge of the self, will appear in them in a very early life itself. It will start operating through them. The knowledge of the self will start operating through them. So, therefore, mentions here that how in it happens at an early age in life, at an early age in life, this experience of what Krishna is saying here, that yoga bhrashta stage. Prapya unnigradam lo tatadam, he says here, adhava yogina meva kule bhavadi dhimatam edhaddi durlabhadaram loke janmayadi drisham. Loke janmayadi drisham. He takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. If you look into all the great personalities of the great acharyas, you will see this. Of course, we will say, when we talk about the acharyas, they were Lord Shiva come as Shankaracharya, or Krishna has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Adishesha has come as Ramanuja, or Vayu Bhagavan has come as Madhvacharya. These things we say like that. That is another side to it. But we have to look at them like us. We see each other in the same way. We don't know who they are really, do we? We say because others say to us like that. We haven't gone and verified this. We haven't got the possibility of verifying this, who they are. So therefore, you have to look at them. When they come to this world, how do they come? When they come and present here, when they talk about it, that this knowledge of the Shastram, and that knowledge of the self and the knowledge of the Shastram is in them from the very early days in life itself. Very early days in life itself. So, and therefore, they get that special capacity within them from early birth, early days in their life. For example, Shankaracharya wrote these famous prayers known as Kanakadharastava, glorifying Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi. What happened was, as a brahmachari, he went for begging for alms, and went to one house, and in that house they had nothing to give him. Very, very poor they were. They were so poor, they had nothing there. So this brahmachari came and stood in front of the house, because those days they followed all these things very strictly. Then brahmachari boys, they will go begging for alms. And that was it was an Ekadashi day. So the lady in the house, she had nothing to give him. There was only one amalaga fruit, what is there. She took that and gave it to him, and tears came from her eyes, seeing this such a nice brahmachari that she couldn't give anything to him. Out of her heart was really in a feeling that great distress, not able to offer anything to that brahmachari who came there. So it was at that time, standing there, he compiled this famous hymn known as Kanakadhara Stotram. Kanakadhara. Kanakadhara means, Kanaka means gold, Dhara means a shower of gold. He recited these verses in front of her in the house, and immediately Mahalakshmi showered gold from the top. That is how the story goes. So that the first verse itself, at the age of 5, he wrote that. And he sang that, and says, Angam Hari Pulaga Bhushanam Ashrayandi Bringanga Neva Mukula Bharanam Tamalam Angikrita Akhila Vibhuti Apanga Leela Mangalya Dastumama Mangala Devadaya. A verse which has been at the age of 5, to compile a verse like that, in its poetic beauty, it even surpasses many of the creations of Kalidas, who was a great poet at that time, isn't it? So, one of the famous verses what he compiled was at the age of 5, this was compiled. And even Saundarya Lahari, which was compiled much later, does not have the same beauty as this famous song that was sung. So, even if Kalidas sees this, he will be ashamed to, because of the beauty, poetic beauty of this verse. So, and we can't imagine that, how a child of 5 years have managed to do this. So, the thing is this, that at the age of 5, to become poetic is very, very difficult. And the same thing happened to Jnanasambandhar also. He was 3 years old. When his father took him to bathe in the temple tank, and at the time he left Jnanasambandhar on the steps, and he was bathing. And at that time, and while he was bathing, the child started crying for the milk. And looking into Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva sitting there on the top of the temple and addressing, begging for their mercy. And when the father came up, you have to remember, those Brahmanas in those days, they had a lot of acharam in them. Acharam means they were very strict about their habits. They wouldn't do things like the way modern Brahmanas do. They were very rigorous, very rigidly they followed their discipline. Very strictly they followed that. So when Sri Parvati came down and gave the milk to Sambandhar, that's how he became Jnanasambandhar. That when the father came up and saw, the milk was dripping from the lips of Jnanasambandhar. So father asked the child, where is this milk coming from? Who gave you the milk? Because the child was crying for something to drink. But father was not concerned about that. Father was more concerned, from whom have you taken the milk? That's how they strict they were. Little bit you can tolerate all the hunger, thirst, everything. He was not bothered about that. So he asked the child. So child pointed out to Sri Parvati. When they looked, they saw the form there, Shiva and Parvati together. Half Shiva and half Parvati. And that is the famous form known as Ardha Narishwara. Ardha as female form and other half as the male form of Shiva. Ardha Narishwara form. So, so here you will see there that this, when Shiva comes as Ardha Narishwara, a half male and half female form, you can see that a child was able to glorify, three and a half years old, child was able to glorify Shiva and Parvati in a beautiful way through his prayers. So this boy, little boy, 3.5 years old, speaking so poetic language, 5-year-old boy, Acharya, speaking in such a way about Lakshmi Devi, all these things, impossible for ordinary people to do that, isn't it? So this particular pradhiva, or this capacity, or prabhavam, that is divine. That is a divine thing. In other words, it's a kind of perfection that comes to them only in that particular birth. It is not something that is brought with them from the previous life. They didn't bring it from, they didn't acquire it in this life because they were too young. And neither it came from previous lifetimes. So, such personalities, such actions of them, you can't imitate. You can't imitate it. They are called, what do they call it? The child prodigy, isn't it? Prodigy or prodigy or what? Prodigy, is it?
Prodigy.
Prodigy, prodigy, yeah. Prodigy. They are prodigies. You can't imitate them. Tyagaraja wrote his kirtanam, famous kirtanams. He wrote all of them, and nowadays you can sing them, but you can't write like the way he wrote. It cannot come out from us, isn't it? So that special capacity, that comes from Krishna. That comes from Krishna. All of them, all these great personalities, it's not that is acquired by their effort. It's something that Krishna comes through them, as musical capacity, poetical capacity, and different ways, it comes out through them for a particular time in that body, in this life. It's different. It's not something that they have achieved by their effort in previous life or by effort in this life. It is naturally itself. We call it with talent or skill, whatever you call it, I don't know. We say, no, you've got a musical talent. What does this talent means?
What is talent means? Talent is nothing but Krishna coming out through them in some form, either through music or through poetry in one way or the other. So you cannot say that they brought it from their previous life. So that comes from Krishna. So Valmiki Ramayana, now look at Valmiki for example. Valmiki wrote this Ramayana, isn't it? Famous Ramayana he compiled. So did that Ramayana come through his effort in that way? Because if you look at this way, that Valmiki doesn't, if you look at his previous life, what was Valmiki? Ratnakara was indeed. He was a dacoit. He was a dacoit. And he did not, and in this lifetime also, he was wandering around before he became the Rishi, he was a dacoit. And so Rishi was living in the forest. So in Ramayanam, it mentions about Valmiki that he is known as Adigavi, the first poet in the world, is Valmiki. And Valmiki, even Kalidas pays his respects to Valmiki, because Kalidas took a lot from Valmiki to compile many of the famous things what Kalidas has produced. It's taking from Valmiki. From Valmiki. So, we say that after Valmiki's time, when we say evolution, what we say is that you can improve things through evolution, isn't it? Evolution, we have developed further and further and it has come to perfectional stage. So, and that means, evolution means that something that was produced originally, we perfected through our improvements, what we do to it, and then we make it more and more perfect, isn't it? So, but what you have to remember is, these things, what has come from Krishna, like this example through Tyagaraja, or through Jnanasambandha, or through Acharya, those things that has come through them, you cannot perfect them. Because it's come from the perfect source, it's already perfect. Anything you try to do with it will be more imperfect. This is how it is. Do you know what I'm saying? That what, because of their, Krishna has come through them in the form of music or poetic capacity, ability. Whatever they have produced and given to this world, that will remain always perfect. Valmiki's Ramayanam, afterwards, how many people wrote Ramayanam, isn't it? In every language there is Ramayanam. But no Ramayanam has the same beauty of Valmiki's Ramayanam. It will never be. It's not possible. So many people tried. Tried means not competing, but with their capacity, with their realizations they wrote. Tulasidas wrote, Kamba wrote, and there are many others who wrote Ramayanam in different languages, in different ways. Adhyalpa Ramayanam also came. But in spite of all that, Valmiki Ramayanam remains as Valmiki, the original thing. Still remains as original. So evolution won't work here. You can't develop it anymore further. Because that what has been given by Krishna directly as a gift to somebody, you can't do anything with that. It will remain like that forever. So you can't add anything to it, you can't take out anything from that. It will remain as it is forever. Because on its own, it is perfect. On its own, it is perfect. It has appeared through Valmiki and it has remained through Valmiki and it will stay in Valmiki. It will not go into anybody else. Though everything else what has come after that is somewhat imitation involved in that. So, in Sanskrit language, they say there is no another second poet born. It's only Valmiki. It's the only poet. So, Kalidas mentions this. He says there that I am following the same path or the same line which was drawn by Valmiki. Kalidas mentions this. I follow the same path what was given to me by Valmiki. That's the respect Kalidas has shown to him. So, Kalidas never mentioned, I am the original poet. He never mentioned that. Similarly, if you look into music also, you will see the same thing. All the great musical compositions are like that. All the and in the Carnatic music, for example, Tyagaraja, Muthuswami Dikshedar, Shyama Shastri, they were the three famous personalities in the Carnatic music traditions. And whatever they have created, they remain as the original. So many people have come since then and they try to compose, but none of them could reach anywhere near to the standard what they had produced. But none of them, what was produced later, has the same standard as the original. So everybody knows that you can't create anything new, which, or you can't conduct any evolution on that, their creations. So what is coming from the source, this is the important point, remember here why I'm saying this is, what that is coming from the source is always perfect. You don't have to do anything with that. And you can't modify it, you can't develop it, you can't add on, you cannot add anything to it, you can't take out anything from that. It will remain always in its position where it is. So similarly, Vedam is coming from Krishna. The womb is Ishvara, is Krishna himself. So because it is that, and all the knowledge is also coming from that womb, Vedam, Yoni. So the source of all the knowledge is Vedam. There, improvisation is not possible. No improvement is possible. That is the important principle to understand first. That is why when we say Vedam is the authority, this is the reason behind it. It is not a manufactured knowledge. Do you see the difference? See, any knowledge what we have developed in this world through our mind and brain, through research or through experiments, all that is imperfect. But this knowledge, what comes from the Vedam, is so perfect because it's come from the source, original source. Pratyakshena animiteva yastu upayo na vidyade tasmal vedasya vedada. Evam madandi vedena tasmal vedasya vedada. Why Vedam is called Vedam? Because pratyakshena animiteva yastu upayo na vidyade. Direct perception, that is pratyaksham. Anumana means inference. None of these things is there in the Vedam. Vedam is not direct perception. It's not direct perception. It was revealed from the source through the rishis. That's how it has come to us. So that is why we say that if you don't accept the authority of the Vedam, you are gone. You are not acceptable anymore. No matter who it is. The reason is this. That pratyakshena animityeva yastu upayo na vidyade. This knowledge of the self, spiritual knowledge that has come through the Vedam, is not a researched knowledge. It's not a manufactured knowledge. It is not a speculated knowledge. It's a knowledge that has come from the original source. From the truth itself. It was revealed through the rishis to us. And that is why in the Vedic tradition, all the acharyas, all the great personalities, including Sri Ramachandra, Sri Krishna, everyone says to us that rishis have spoken like this and I am following the same path. That's how they will say. They will not say, it's mine, I have found out something, my teaching. No my teaching there. Only one teaching, that the rishis teaching. What has come through the rishis. That's the only authority that is acceptable. Nothing else is acceptable. And that is why the Krishna is saying here also that that nobody will question the authority of the Vedam because of this. Nobody will question the authority of the Vedam. So these powerful personalities who has come in that tradition, you can't imitate them or follow them. All you can do is to accept their instructions and live with that. Because they accepted the Vedam with that understanding. And therefore, whatever they have told us, that will be perfect in that way. But if you start thinking that, they were like that, they were perfect in many ways, and therefore I will do the same thing like what they did, then you will be doing it whole lifetime. You won't make it like that. You can't imitate them, none of them. You can't imitate any one of them. Any of the acharyas, any of the great devotees, you can't imitate them. You won't make it happen that. All you can do is to follow what they have told us to do. That is what is possible. They have come to show us the way. That's the purpose they have come. They have come to show us the way. And only thing what we have to do is to follow that path they have shown to us. So particularly in this age, you can see in the age of Kali, like Bhagavatam says, most of us haven't had any time for spiritual life practically, is it not? We had lived material life throughout, and only at 60, 65, it's all, we start thinking about it, what to do about it. Even, and that is happening to all through the society now, in the Kali. In Kali, this is a special feature. Kali Yuga's nature is this, that nobody is able to do anything even on the path of spiritual life. Only when they are getting old, they are able to take up something little seriously in the spiritual path. So that is why we make a joke about this. Among the Brahmana community, who are supposed to be living that life from early days, but they also had to go and work in the factories, work in the offices, banks and businesses and this, that and the other jobs they had to accept, which didn't exist before. So when they started doing this, they have lost it. They also lost it. And they feel, they regret very much about it, what happened to their life. A good life Krishna has given to them, if they had utilized it properly, as Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, that this will be their last birth. They don't have to come back again. Because they have gone through most of the steps, what they had to go through. And now they have been given a form, Brahmanasihi Dehoyam Shudra Gamaya Nishade. That deham, that body has been given to them, which is very conducive, helpful, for favorable for austerities and penances, for simple life and higher thinking. It's favorable body. It's not demanding a lot of sense gratification. That's what it is, means. The Brahmana body is given with the idea that that body is favorable for spiritual life. It's not demanding sense gratification. Very little, a lot of austerity it can perform. And the mind is particularly peaceful inside. All these facilities. So they feel bad that they had to go and spend all their life to go and work in a factory or offices or shop floor or whatever it is. And then after retirement at 60 or 65, they are regretting very much. What do they regret about? They didn't study Bhagavad Gita. They didn't study Brahma Sutram. They didn't study Upanishads. They didn't study Bhagavatam. All this feel they get disturbed over this. They get worried about it. I think it is natural, you can understand that, why it is so, isn't it? And if you have to do it at the age of 60 and 65, you start, it's impossible, isn't it? It's impossible. So therefore, that is why what they do generally is that they won't go into very difficult literature. They will take up the simple ones. For example, Acharya Swamiji's Bhajagovindam, Villumangalam's Krishnakarnamdam, books like that, they can take it up at that age. Difficult literature like Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, are more difficult to absorb at the age after 60, 65, it gets more and more difficult, isn't it? And if you try to study something, Bhagavatam has warned us that. In the first canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi, knowing our weakness, he told us, isn't it? What did he say? Mandasya mandaprajnyasya vayo mandayushascha vai. Nidraya hriyade naktam divacha vyarthakarmabhi. You remember in the first canto he says this. Mandaha. Mandaha means mandaha. Mandaha does don't mean obesity. Eh? That's what it means. It's not obesity. Yeah. Mandaha means if something is spoken, it won't get in. That's mandaha. Even something is spoken from the spiritual point of view, it just doesn't get in. It's just the way it is. Simple things in spiritual life. Manda, sumanda madayo, manda bhagya, hubadrudaha. In the first canto, it says, Manda, sumanda madayo, manda bhagya, hubadrudaha. You will see there in the first canto, if you see, that the Krishna is saying there, that Sudha Goswami mentions this, that mandasya manda, this is in the two places it comes, the same thing is spoken. In the first canto, it says, also in the glorification of Bhagavadam, you will see the same thing spoken. That tenth verse, first canto, first chapter.
Prayenalpayusha sabhya kalavasmin yuge janaha mandasumandamadayo mandabhagya ubadrudaha. Prayenalpayusha sabhyo kalau asmin yuge janaha.
In the Kali Yuga, people are born with a very short span of life. Alpayusha sabhya kalau asmin yuge janaha. They are born with a very short span of life. Then what else? Mandaha. That everything, if you say something, no rush for it. What is the hurry? We'll take it up slowly after retirement. They'll say, everything after kept for retirement. And the whole fun you have to see after the retirement what happens. Now we keep everything for the retirement, after the retirement. And then when you get there, you will see what happens then. Manda, that is that manda. Everything for the future. Sumandamadayoho. And so, there's the next misfortune. First of all, everything kept delayed. First of all, it won't get inside. And secondly, if it does get inside, it is postponed for the future. Sumandamadayo mandabhagya hubadrudaha. Okay, mandaha sumandamadayaha. Then more than that, mandabhagyaha. Have they got any luck in their life? No, there is no luck either. Mandabhagya hubadrudaha. So, Rishaya Uju, you will see there in the Pradhamaskanda, the first canto, when Sudha Goswami, the rishis who were present there, they mentioned this to Sudha Goswami who came to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's where this comes. And the same thing comes in the Bhagavata Mahalme, glorification of Bhagavatam. In Palpavranam also, the verse comes in a little different format. So, Prayen Alpayusha Sabhya Kalau Asmin Yuge Janaha Mandasumandamadayo Mandabhagya Ubadrudaha. So this is our situation here. So what is indicating to us is that there is a starting problem. Itself is a big problem. The car won't start. Similarly, our spiritual life also has got a starting problem. That's what they are indicating to us. It won't start very easily, the spiritual life. So much you have to go through in life to get a lot of kicks and knocks from all sides in life. And then slowly you'll start opening up the eyes and start thinking that, oh, spiritual life, I heard about it, somebody talking about it once. What is spiritual life? There's a life called spiritual life, is it? So, unfortunately, this is a part of this Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, not, you can't blame everything for Kali, it may be so. So what? We have to go through. So Krishna is saying here, Kali's direct attack is in our brain. Kali attacks our brain directly. Attacks our brain directly. And this educational system what we have today in the schools and colleges, that itself is a very powerful force of that Kali. This educational system, what we have today, is a very powerful force of that Kali. Of that Kali. Because all the good things, what you have to know in life and to practice in life, all that time is wasted in studying things which are totally useless at the end. And then, at the age of 30 years, by the age of 30, all the energy in the brain is run out, finished, isn't it? And now we are sitting in this Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam classes, nothing is getting in. Nothing is getting in. Because why? Everything is closed. Everything is closed. Now we will say that what we said, what we studied, we will remember all this, what Humpty Dumpty sat on the fall and had a great fall. This is where we are today. Try to understand this, because when we talk about Shraddha, we have to know where we stand, isn't it? With such limitations in us. So nothing is getting inside, Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, nothing is getting inside. Okay, if it's not getting inside, doesn't matter. But those great personalities to whom it has got inside, acharyas, when they tell us you go along with this path, at least if we have the Shraddha to go through that path, then it's not bad. It's not bad, isn't it? So just like cold or fever, all these things, when you go to the hospital and so you see a particular doctor, and in the olden days they will write some prescription and give it to you. You can't read it, what they have written. Doctors used to write like that. Maybe that's the reason now they print out everything and give it to you. Sometimes you have seen the pharmacists also couldn't read what the doctors have written. It used to happen like that before, long ago, before these computer facilities came. So they used to write something and give it to you. You couldn't read anything. Then you take it to the pharmacist, he also cannot read it. The situation can used to happen like that. So, but then finally, you may not have read it, but medical shopman or the pharmacist has somehow figured it out, what it is, and he gives you the medicine. But you don't know anything about that medicine, isn't it? But you buy it still. Why? You take it because you have faith. Doctor has given it, and pharmacist is giving it to me, so it should be okay, and you take it, and you probably get cured. So, that is why Nilakanta Dikshidhar, he jokingly talked about this physicians, doctors particularly, he said that one young man, he went to a famous physician and told him, I want to learn the Ayurvedam from you, he said. How long will it take, he said. So he said, 15 years minimum, he said, to teach you properly. He said, oh, I can't have 15 years. But I wanted something very quickly, which I can get it in a week, a crash course or something like that. So similarly, some people are like that, isn't it? They're looking for this short time courses. And the spiritual organizations also knows that they can give packages like that. 3 weeks, 2 weeks. If you haven't got much time, okay, we'll make it for you, another package. For 2 days, couple of hours in the evening after your work, so you don't have to take time off from work. And we can fit it in everything in there, all Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, everything in these 2 hours, 2 days crash course for you. So similarly, there are people like that who is looking for such things, isn't it? So he says to him that some people are like that, they want to study Vedam. And Vedam is unlimited. If you want to study Vedam, and they want to learn it very fast. One mother who didn't know anything about it, she sent her son to Banaras to study Vedam. And she asked, she doesn't know anything about the Vedam, but she wanted her son to study. So she sent the son there. So those days people had to walk long distances from all over the country. They had to walk to Banaras. Banaras was the center of learning always. And when they had to walk long distances, there was no other facilities, is it not? So she understood that there's only 4 Vedam, isn't it? Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Adharvana Vedam. And she's saying that he has left the house 5 days ago and there's only 4 Vedam to study. And he still hasn't come back, she says. This is her understanding of the Vedam. So this is how people are thinking about Vedam. That they are thinking that it's something that they can pick up just like with a few courses and few seminars, like that. So similarly, he comes to this
Nilakanta Dikshitar mentions this, that in 2 or 3 days can you teach me something about Ayurveda, he says. So Nilakanta Dikshitar says, this physician told him, you don't even need 2 or 3 days. In one verse I'll teach you everything, he said. Then Esya Kasya Dharor Moolam, you go to the garden and look everywhere, find out some root or some leaf somewhere, pull it out and bring it out, and you crush it nicely, take out the juice and give it to him, for the, any patient, whoever comes. And you give that to him and tell him go. So the student asked, will he get cured if you do like that? He says, he may get cured, he may not get cured. That's not, I can't guarantee that, he said. Because depends on his luck. Depends on his luck. In other words, sometimes you will escape. 10 out of 100 may come out of that, escape because of that. So similarly, what is important there is that it is through Shraddha that our life runs on the proper track. Even in the medical profession, we are thinking all these doctors and medicines is curing our disease. Is it not? That is what most of the people have that concept in their understanding. But strictly from the Shastram point of view, what they are saying is that if you go for a treatment and if you have the faith in the doctor and in the medicine, first thing is that faith in the medicine and the doctor more than the medicine. The medicine is only a secondary thing. And then if you have that faith, then when the doctor gives you the medicine, it will get cured. Because why? In Vishnu Sahasranamam, if you look, 1000 names of Vishnu, it mentions very clearly there, if you look at there, you will see there, the words they have used, Krishna is the doctor of who cures everything. Who cures everything? Krishna is the medicine. The word they have used is that Bheshajam Bishak, it mentions. Trisama Samagasama Nirvanam Bheshajam Bishak. The medicine is Krishna, the physician is Krishna. This is the concept of Ayurveda. It is on this concept. The medicine is Krishna, the doctor is Krishna. If Krishna is not sanctioned, no matter, and if Krishna has sanctioned, you will have that Shraddha in you to have that faith in the doctor. And if Krishna has sanctioned, you will have the Shraddha or faith in the medicine. And it will work. This is the subtle side of it. We won't accept all these things. You think that it's different things, isn't it? So that is why he mentions there that Vaidyo Vaidya Sada Yogi Viraha Madhavo Madhu. In the same Vishnu Sahasranamam, you will see there that it is this verse which says that 62nd verse. Trisama Samagasama Nirvanam Beshajam Bishak Sanyasa Krishama Shando Nishta Shandi Parayanaha. Trisama Samagasama Nirvanam Beshajam Bishak. This Vishnu Sahasranamam was spoken by Bhishma to Yudhishthira. He told Yudhishthira to chant every day, to chant. It's so famous. So that is where Bhishma says this to Yudhishthira. Trisama Samagasama Nirvanam Beshajam Bishak. The medicine is Krishna, is another name of Krishna is medicine. Beshajam Bishak. Bishak is Krishna. The doctor is Krishna. And similarly, Vedyo, which is the 18th verse, Vedyo Vaidya Sada Yogi Viraha Madhavo Madhu Adindriyo Mahamayo Mahul Saho Mahavala. These are all different names of Krishna. So when they make the offering of flowers to Krishna in the deity worship, what they will do, that each of these names are taken and they made it as a mantra. For example, when they offer they will say Om Vedyaya Namaha, they will offer some flower. Om Vaidyaya Namaha, they will offer some flower. Om Aha Sada Yogi Namaha, they will offer another flower. In this way, all the 1000 names they are chanting and they are offering flowers to Krishna in that way. So, Vedyo Vaidya Sada Yogi, he is the Vaidya himself. Viraha Madho Madhu. So, it is from this that you can see here that the healing power, how does that, because when you are in contact with the doctor, at that time, if you have the faith in the doctor, if you have the faith in the doctor, or in other words, if the doctor was able to wake up that faith in your heart, the healing will happen naturally. Healing will happen naturally. It is only very, it's a very gross thing to think that medicine is curing the disease. Medicine is not curing the disease. So sometimes you can see in homeopathy, for example, the homeopathy tablets, and you look at them, they all look very similar, isn't it? And if you ask the allopathy doctors, they won't accept homeopathy. Many of the allopathy doctors don't accept homeopathy. But then homeopathy has its effect. That they say that the medicine is curing us, because if you have the faith in that medicine, it's capable of curing the illness. That is how they look at that. So similarly, this Shraddha, we are talking about, that's why we have come to this Shraddha point of view. This is a mundane example. That you go into a doctor, and the doctor, you have faith in him, that he will give, if he does something, if he prescribes a medicine, it will work. If you have that faith in him, and he gives a prescription, and you get the medicine, and it gets cured. So, that is why, that after that, Shraddha has woken up in you, the faith has developed in you, then only what you have to do is to give the medicine. Then it will work. Similarly, in the same way, spiritual master also. So, he is with the student, he is with the disciple. And if he succeeds in creating that Shraddha in your heart in spiritual life, then it will work. That is why if you look at the definition of Shraddha, what is that? Shastrasya, Guru Vakyasya, Satya Buddhyavadharana, Sa Shraddha. Iti Kathyade. So, Shraddha means you have to have that faith or acceptance of the Shastram first. And then you have to have the total acceptance of the instructions of the spiritual master. Shastrasya, Guru Vakyasya, that is called Satya Buddhyavadharana. Satya Buddhi means this. Satya Buddhi means that you have unflinching faith which cannot be disturbed in the words of the spiritual master and the words of the Shastram, and then it will work. Otherwise it won't work. But if you go with this, and that person who is able to generate that faith in us, in Shraddha in us, he is the spiritual master. He has to able to do that. Spiritual master is not a simple thing like that, the way we think about it. So, forget about Krishna. Krishna has come and go. You can forget about that. But that is why they say, if the spiritual master is upset, then there is no solution to the problem. But if Krishna is upset, there is a solution to the problem. So that is how they mentions that. So even if Krishna gets upset, the spiritual master can protect us. But if spiritual master gets upset, then it's lost. And it is of that, because spiritual master is actually nothing but a personification of our Shraddha. Shraddha personified in front of us, because he is creating, waking up the Shraddha inside us. So, therefore, it mentions there, Guru is nothing but a symbol or pratigam of this Shraddha inside. That is the reason why they say, before you accept a spiritual master, you have to be extremely cautious about it. If you go and jump in something and accept anybody as a spiritual master,
when there will be a serious problems later. You have to remember why it is so. Because this relationship, what the spiritual master does says, that it is more than a husband-wife relationship. It's more sublime and it's much more permanent. Husband-wife relationship is over with the marriage and with the death, everything is finished. But imagine, if a spiritual master is connecting us with Krishna, that relationship is not for this life, it's forever, isn't it? Krishna is eternal, we who are eternal, and Krishna, they are joining us together. Krishna and us is joining us together. And therefore, we have to give much more consideration while selecting a guru than selecting a bride. Is that what's happening? Think about it. Just think through this. And I'll tell you what is the after effect if you don't do that. What will happen? Because this relationship with the spiritual master and the disciple is so important, that who is going to connect us with Krishna or make us to realize the self and wake up that Shraddha inside us. He is meant to do that. And that relationship is much more important in our life than even while finding the wife or the husband. Finding husband or wife, it may work or may not work, doesn't matter. At least at the end it will finish one day and go. It'll go. But this one is not like that. The after effect, the consequence of this, you have to think what will happen. What will happen is that if you do not give that attention to it, tomorrow if you start thinking it's not working out properly, the person I have selected is the wrong thing. In marriage doesn't matter, you can tolerate something and get on with it. Life. Here what will you do? Because your very root of faith is what you are cutting there. Your very root of the faith is what you have gone and clipped it. You have clipped that. So, and therefore, after that you will dry up spiritually. You will spiritually dry up. Because all your faith, Shraddha, has been shaken. If something happens to that relationship, something happens to that. Suppose you have selected somebody and you have taken, accepted him, and later on you found and heard so many things from others and other things came out and you became conscious of all that, and then it started creating trouble inside. What will happen then? What will happen then? So, what is, because whatever the spiritual master has spoken to you, that is what is reflecting from you. That's what is reflecting you. And therefore, what it says, your Shraddha and the spiritual master is one and the same. The power that is inside your Shraddha, all what is happening when you are accepting a spiritual master, is that Shraddha is taking a particular form and standing in front of you. And if that person has not kept that word, or kept his, it comes out later on as not that standard what is maintained, to be maintained by him, then it shakes up your Shraddha inside. Your Shraddha will be affected by that. So that is why when you come to spiritual life, Adhyalpam, in other words, people will do anything in the Adhyalpam. For example, suppose somebody has come and you have given him a meal. You invited him for a meal and he may not be so grateful to you. If you invited him for a prasadam and given him some prasadam and you looked after him, entertained him and you sent him home, he may or may not be grateful because all you have given him is a meal, isn't it? Or if you go into the school, you see the teachers who have taught you at the school. If you go back now into your village, if the teachers are still living, and if you go and see them, you will say like this, oh, these teachers have taught me at the school. You don't feel such a great gratitude towards them. You don't feel a great obligation towards them. On the other hand, if spiritual life has entered inside, it is a different situation, isn't it? It's a different situation. You feel a gratitude for the whole life, rest of the life towards that person, for giving you something which is very much the core of your Shraddha for the whole life. And that will never go away. That is why the gratitude what a disciple should feel towards a spiritual master is of a much higher magnitude than anything else in this world. Because there your own Shraddha is what has come there in that particular form. So what Krishna is saying here is that why do you feel so much gratitude towards him? Because he has given you himself. He is the person who has given you to yourself, is it not? He gave you the understanding to you who you are. That means he has given you to yourself. He has given you to yourself. That is his qualifications. So because it is like that, our Shraddha's personification is that Guru outside. So if by chance a little bit of distrust or mistrust or any feeling of cheating has happened in that relationship, you will lose yourself. You will lose yourself. So that is the topic of Shraddha. While talking about Shraddha, so you can pay your obeisances to any acharya, any devotee, or you can pay your obeisances to him, and you can accept anybody as an authority, but while accepting a guru or spiritual master, this is important. This faith has to be so good in your heart in that person that nothing else can shake you at any moment. To that extent, that faith must be there in your heart. Otherwise, it will cause problems later. There is a story about this, just to indicate to us how that works. A king had a habit of accepting all spiritual-minded people. He used to invite them and worship them. That was his habit. So we'll have a short break now. Chedo darpanam arjanam bahadavadnirvapanam Shreyakaidavajanrigavidaranam vidyavadu jivanam Anandamudivardhanam vadivadapurnamudasvadanam Sarvatnasvanambaram vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namnamagari Bhudavanija Sarvashakti Tatrarpidane Nigasvaranena Kala Edadrishi Tavakrupa Bhagavan Mamati Durdeva Medrishamha Janimanuraga Pranara Vishuni Jena Tarora Vi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundayim Avidamba Jagadishakai Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavala Bhakti Rahe Duvitvai Ayi Nandadanu Jakingaram Padidamam Shame Bhavan Budo Kribayama Vada Panka Jastida Doli Sadrasham Vijindaya Nayanam Galada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgadarubhaya Gira Pulagayam Nijidam Kadavako Tavanmama Grahane Bhavishnayi Yugayidam Nimeshena Chakshusharam Pravishayidam Shunyayidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name Ashlishya Vapadaradam Pinashtuma Adarshanam Varmahadam Karoduva Yadha Kadava Vidadadulam Vidau Matprana Mathastu Nayevana Prada. So, Shraddha. When it comes to Shraddha, the important principle is this, that Shraddha should not get disturbed later. That Shraddha should only grow. If somehow or the other, if we have developed Shraddha in something, that Shraddha should be allowed to grow. So any decision we make in relationship with that Shraddha has to be made very carefully. If there is no careful decision made, it is possible that we have made some decision and later on it turned out to be wrong decision, in which case it can completely destroy your Shraddha later. Later, that Shraddha can be disturbed. So, but the point is that this Shraddha has another side to it also. Because if your Shraddha is there, and if you are able to build up Shraddha in that person strongly, then also it can help. For example, this story, what we are going to talk about is, a king who used to invite all sorts of holy people to his palace and feed them and give a lot of presents to them. And in that way, he used to, only thing is he respected the sannyasis' clothes very much. He used to think sannyasis are elevated personalities and then invite them to the palace and offer them prasadam, wash their feet and offer respects to them. In that way he invited many sannyasis without any discrimination. He invited, as long as he is in a saffron clothes and he is a sannyasi, he invited them. So in one instance, many of his ministers even were not happy about that, because they knew that a lot of them who were coming and whom he was inviting were not of the right standard. They maintained in spiritual life. So, so what happened was that in one instance, that someone who was doing this magic in the street, he dressed up like a sannyasi and came. And the king didn't know him, because king never go to the street and look everyone what they are doing in the streets. But that was his normal occupation. He performed magic and things like that in the street and made a living from that. But he dressed up like a sannyasi and went to the king. King paid his obeisances to him, taking him, accepting him as a sannyasi. So the minister knew this, who he is. He has dressed up and come as a sannyasi. And he felt like telling the king that he is not a proper sannyasi, he is just an ordinary person in the street. But seeing the bhakti, devotion in the king's heart, he thought that I should not say anything to him and disturb his mind. This is the minister's thought. Minister is thinking like this. I won't say anything about it to him, and because he may get disturbed if I say anything, because he is having full faith in this person who had come. And some other instance I will talk to the king about it, he said. So, as usual, the king offered him a nice feast, and after that gave him a lot of presents also, a dhoti, sannyasa dhoti, and some cash as dakshina and everything, and sent him off from there. Next day, this person was performing his magic in the street to collect his normal livelihood from there. So what the minister did was, minister took the king and took him there. Minister took him there. At that time he was performing this magic there, and a lot of people were watching him. So, and the minister showed the king, have you seen him standing, doing what he is doing here, he said. So, the king looked at him, and the minister thought that the king will get upset by seeing that this is the guy who had come and done this as a sannyasi and cheated me the day before. But the king kept looking at him, and finally he says to him, minister asked him, do you know who that is, who is doing all this magic? So the king says that, I know who it is.
He is the one who came to my house yesterday as a sannyasi, isn't it? Look at this, how Krishna can come in so many different forms. He has come to our house as sannyasi. Here he is doing his magic. Krishna is doing the magic. In other words, the king is so advanced that this sarvalpatvam has come to him, that he is not seeing anymore the external features of the body or occupation or any such thing. He is not disturbing him. He has gone far beyond than that. He is only saying, Krishna has come to my palace as a sannyasi yesterday. Now Krishna is doing the magic here in this form. So if our Shraddha has gone to that level in anybody, then it doesn't matter who it is. Provided our Shraddha has grown to that level. But if our Shraddha has not gone to that level, then if you accept somebody like that, it will cause problem for us. This is that lesson from this. Suppose our Shraddha has become like the king, that he knows that sannyasi doesn't matter, it is Krishna who has come as sannyasi. It doesn't disturb him anymore. That means wherever he is seeing all living entities, everywhere Krishna's presence is being felt and experienced by him, by the king. Therefore, he had no problems in or never got angry with him. He explained it like this, that in that he now in this dress he is sitting here, and if you start seeing Krishna in everyone, then nobody will be able to cheat you, because there's no cheating anymore then, is it not? Suppose if you started seeing Krishna's presence in everyone, what I'm saying is, in which stage, how we should be, that's the most important thing. In the early stages in spiritual life, when you are coming from our conditioned material life into spiritual path, first time, we need a discrimination. We need all the help, what we need from the Shastra to make the right decision. But later on, after you have gone very far in spiritual path, then these things don't matter. These things don't matter because it won't disturb you. Like the king was not disturbed. When he saw the magician doing that magic, he didn't feel it get hurt inside. Oh, he has cheated me yesterday coming in the sannyasi dress. Instead, he thought, yesterday Krishna has come as sannyasi, today Krishna is doing the magic. That realization is important. If you have reached that stage, then it doesn't matter. But in the early days itself, if we go and choose somebody based on the institution or organization who give you a list and says, pick one from this and take it like that, then you got to be a little bit careful about it, because you haven't reached that stage that you can accept anyone as a spiritual master in that stage. So because in our present state, that person whom we choose, we are seeing him through his body, isn't it? Through his body, as a personality, as a mind. And if you are taking it as a personality in that way, even if your person whom we have chosen is a great personality, even there you can have doubts. Sometimes it can happen. It can happen. That is why they mention it like this, that because even great advanced devotees, sannyasis and all that, they can also make mistakes in life. They can also make mistakes in life. And you will start questioning their perfection, how perfect they are, and that will create doubts inside. That is what has happened in many cases. This is what has happened. That we have accepted people, and those who have accepted them, they didn't have the maturity to make that proper way of accepting a spiritual master. Spiritual master also not knowing what is expected of him, in what stage, he also took up that role. But the result was that there was so much confusion from that, and later on, all sorts of difficulties came up from that. So, even Purna Purushas, sometimes we will get doubt if we are not matured enough. Even they may be perfect to a large extent,
But we will see something in them which is not our, because we are still seeing their body, their mind, and their activities. And personality, we are seeing that, vyaktitvam. So when you are seeing that, in that personality, imperfections will be there. And those imperfections can cause doubt inside us, and it can affect our shraddha. This is why it is spoken like that. So, but because of this only, even among great personalities, what to talk about ordinary people, great personalities like Prabhupada, like Ramana Maharshi, like Ramakrishna, people had come and left them and gone. They had the opportunity to be with them and they spent some time, but they saw something imperfect in them and they've gone. Why? Because they were always seeing the personality there. Personality. In personality, there will always be imperfections. Even among the very advanced people, there can be imperfections. Because, so, this movement, that is because there, our Shraddha is in trouble. Shraddha is in trouble. Because, mind, senses, and our attention, all our strength, what we have got, our upasana, upasana means a sadhana, what we are performing, all of that. For example, in the Vedam, Upanishads also, it mentions there, husband has to look at the wife as the personification of Sri Parvati, Devi, and to worship her in that way. And husband has to be seen by the wife as God and worship him in that way. And if that way, if it is carried out, and mother has to see the children as Krishna's manifestation and worship them. This is all on the highest level. To develop this understanding, proper Shraddha in a person, this is what is expected from in the Vaidika system, this is what is spoken. Husband has to worship the wife as the personification of Devi, Sri Parvati. Wife has to worship the husband as God himself. And mother has to worship the children as the manifestation of Krishna's manifestations in the house. So, it is easy to say all these things, isn't it? But it is to get that happen, it's an effort of the whole lifetime. It's the effort of the whole lifetime to get this to happen. So, there was a great Vedic scholar. Of course, these things did exist to a large extent in the ancient families. This did exist in the ancient families. All that was done because they made their life in this world spiritual. Every relationship in this world, they cultivated in such a way that it made it spiritual, for spiritual realizations, spiritual advancement. If you say this to the modern world, somebody who has no idea about any of these things, they will laugh at you. Husband seeing the wife as the personification of the Sri Parvati, or seeing husband as God, women will not accept that. They will say, oh, you want me to see you as a God? Why? We have got through this education system. This is the sad thing. Mandaha, sumanda madayo, mandavagya, ubadrudaha. This is what it is. Then we won't understand this. What is this Vedam talking about? Why it is spoken like that? If you ask this question, they won't know. Why? Why it is? But if you understand it properly, if you understand the subtle side of it, how effective that is, how it has helped in many, many people's life without destroying their material life, or without destroying their family relationship, they perfected their spiritual life. They succeeded in doing that. Why? They followed this. That's what has happened to them. That is their success. That they knew the right thing and the spirit behind it. And they were, so they sacrificed, husband sacrificed everything, wife sacrificed everything. In the process, both of them got the benefit from that. Both of them got the benefit from that. Of course, this is something that just for the whole life. About 75 years ago, this is an incident what Sringeri Vaman Swamiji talks about that. From in Andhra Pradesh, there was a family where there was a lot of Vaidika system, the Vedic tradition was followed very strictly. And there was one personality there who was highly tapasvi. Tapasvi means performed a lot of austerities and penances in life and studied Vedam very well. A very poor Brahmana. Very poor Brahmana, studied Vedam very well, performed a lot of austerities and penances in life. And he had many students whom he has taught Vedam. And he became very, very old as well. He became very old. So, and he was not very rich. He was a very poor person. And he kept his house like a school. Students came to him and he taught them. Very simple setup. Very, very simple setup. So he was teaching them and he worshipped Sri Vidya. Sri Vidya Upasana. Sri Vidya Upasana means that Sri Parvati's worship at Sri Vidya Upasana. That was performed by him. Tapasvi, full of tapasya, austerities and penances, well learned, highly learned in Shastram. Not only that, very peaceful inside. Very peaceful inside. And therefore, all the students who were with him, they had a lot of respect for him. And he is gone from this world. But the students who are living now, today, they remember him still for his kindness. So, unfortunately, his wife was a little bit eccentric. She used to get upset very easily. And sometimes she used to be feeling very distressed inside. So sometimes she used to get so upset, she'll become like a Bhadragali, get so angry about that. So the children knew, the students who came to the house, they knew her nature. And but when she is in that mood, they will keep away from her. They'll move away from her. So therefore, that says that that is when sometimes she will lose her temper and comes up to him. One instance, I think I mentioned this also, she came with a big knife in her hand, ready to put it on him. And she was so angry with him at that time. But he sat there very peacefully and recited these famous verses. He is seeing her as Sri Parvati's manifestation. And this famous prayer is called the Shyamala Dandagam. And he recited those verses addressing her. After listening to that, she cooled down and dropped that knife there and walked away from there. So you can see that someone who has lived that life and practiced it whole life, his vision is such, it has got its power. It has got its power. And that much power this Shraddha has got. Shraddha Shakti. Shraddha's power that is. It is the power of that Shraddha. His Shraddha Shakti. That's what it is showing to us. Isn't it? This is the perfection of that Upasana. So, even after knowing the self, self-knowledge also, it has to become perfect. When is perfection? Perfection is what you have realized, you are able to bring it into Vyavaharam and use it. That even in Vyavaharam, you are not disturbed. Then that your knowledge has become perfect then. For example, you have realized the self by studying Shastram and by self-inquiry or by sadhana, upasana. In all these ways, various ways, you have come to a very higher state of realization of the self. I'm not this body and I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence. But I am spirit soul, and normal material things does not disturb you anymore. But if you have come to this level, that even in your relationship with others, and in all the vyavaharam, if you can retain that shanti, samadhi, peace inside, and you have become so strong spiritually that the other person will drop everything and accept your authority, accept your authority. And that is what is what we call as bhakti. That is that stage of bhakti, or what we know as jivan bhakti in other words. So it is an effort for the whole life. This comes from effort from the whole life. So
the whole life you can see that with one realization it's not finished. You can see this goes on and on and on for a long period of time. So for those who have realized perfectly, for them there is no vichitti anymore. Vichitti means there's no mind operating anymore. It's a tapas, austerity goes on for the rest of the life. So everywhere he looks around, what he sees is his upasana murti. That means the form he is worshipping in his sadhana process. That particular form is manifesting in all the different bodies in this world. And what does that Shraddha Shakti does to him? That it makes the whole creation ultimately as Brahma to him. And until it happens, his Shraddha Shakti doesn't go away. Now you understand what Shraddha means. Now you can see the power of Shraddha. This also whole thing, it is Shraddha Shakti that takes us and completely changes our nature inside and brings this realization and fills that inside and makes us more and more into spiritual realizations. Not only inside, eventually outside also. Inside as well as outside. So in other, therefore they are saying that after you have acquired the knowledge of the self, the real tapasya, austerity begins. Because up to that point, it's only a business. It's not tapasya. It's only a business. Before acquiring this knowledge, it's only a business. Because up to that point, you are doing something, you are getting something. You are doing something, you are getting something. I have given so much time and energy and I have got so much from that. And this is why Bhagavatam will mention this Savai Vanika. Vanika means business person who does business with Krishna. That our spiritual life also, we do so many things and we check what we have got from that by doing all this. I chanted 16 rounds, what did I get from that? So many years I have chanted. Like that we look at it, there is no tapasya there, only Vanika. Vanika means business what you have done at that time. So real tapasya is after the knowledge of the self. By then, all our desires have left us. There's no more desires after that. You're not planning anymore. Oh, I have to fulfill this desire in this world. I have this plan in this world. So many other kind of desires. Nothing is disturbing you anymore. All of them has gone. And your Medha Shakti is the same as Shraddha. When Medha Shakti means the capacity to absorb things, spiritual things. And that Medha Shakti, when it becomes very pure inside, in a new way, in a new style, we will see this creation and we will see our life also in a new dimension to it. Completely a new dimension to it. So, our topic here is, Arjuna is asking this question, as he mentions here, he will get some Shraddha somewhere. Arjuna is, see that verse, this is a little subtle verse that is, that Arjuna's verse. Arjuna asks the question, you know, you have to analyze that verse properly, otherwise you won't understand. It's not direct, straightforward, so straightforward. Look at that verse, you will see there, Arjuna is asking, say there that ya shastra vidimul srijya yajande shraddhayanvida tesham nishtaduka krishna satvam aho rajas tama. This is the question, isn't it? Tesham nishtaduka krishna satvam rajas aho rajas tama ya shastra vidimul srijya yajande shraddhayanvida. He has got shraddha in him and he is following that life in this world. What is going to happen to him? That is the question Arjuna has asked. So, somehow or the other, due to his Shraddha, he gets fixed up in life. Somewhere he gets fixed up. Or he has decided to accept some acharya as an authority and decided to follow him. And we have spoken all these things to so far in these 3-4 classes about Shraddha to make us aware the greatness of Shraddha. That's why I've spoken all these last 3 classes.
Because otherwise you will just think Shraddha is attention. It's not attention. All these things what we talked about last few days is to make us understand that the Shraddha's glory, the power of Shraddha, what Shraddha can do. So now we will come back to the normal level. Suppose we have got a spiritual master, we have got Shraddha in that process, and but at the same time Shraddha is there, but Shastram is not known to us. But I'm just doing what the spiritual master has told me to do. And this is the same situation, Ratnakara's story, Valmiki's previous life. Ratnakara didn't know anything. He was continuously performing dacoity, isn't it? Looting and dacoity he was doing there. And the story is that Saptarishis, they came and spoke to him. Srinarada Maharshi also came and spoke to him. Two different stories. One place some days Saptarishi spoke to him, some places they say Srinarada Maharshi spoke to him. And anyway, he had contact, Ratnakara had contact with some great personalities. They told him to chant the holy name of Ramachandra, Rama, but he couldn't. He chanted Mara, isn't it? So exactly opposite. Mara is the name of Kamadeva. Kamadeva's Cupid's name is Mara. So they told him, okay, you can't chant Rama, keep chanting that name, Mara, 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 like that. So the actual meaning is, the opposite thing is the effect. And opposite effect it is. But instant interest, the intention was not that. That two letters, Ra and Ma, created a Valmiki from that person. Created a Valmiki there. So, because when the Rishis came and, or Sridharma Maharshi came and spoke to Ratnakara, Ratnakara didn't know anything about the letters. What Ra or what Ma, he had no idea. He was not even anyway educated. But he had faith in that instruction from Narada Maharshi. Sridharma Maharshi's instructions. And that is his Shraddha. That is his Shraddha. So, if we have that kind of Shraddha what Valmiki has in anyone, in a very natural way, all the Shastram will come from the heart. Because it's already there, everything. Knowledge of the self is very much within here. And it will come from the heart. And after he has realized it, if he takes the book and look at it, he will find it there. That what he has realized is what is written in the book. What is written in the book. So, once the chittam is purified, chitta shuddhi happens, whatever that comes from inside that person, it will be Vedam. It will be Vedam. But that chitta shuddhi has to be such a degree, such a high degree, which is not so easy to that to happen. So, if somebody's heart is so pure, chitta shuddhi has happened to him, then if he says something and if you tell him that this is not in the Shastram, then if he says that it is in the Shastram, it will be there in the Shastram. It will be there in the Shastram. That is how that power of that Shraddha has grown so high in that person. Sometimes we misunderstand this. For example, we consider about someone as a Mahatma. And then we say, because he is a Mahatma, whatever he says is truth. It's not like that. His chitta shuddhi should be so high, then if his realizations is also like that, then if he says something, it will be in the Shastram. There are instances like that. So, sometimes this important principle is to be understood. Many instances what happens that we come to spiritual life and then we start thinking that important thing is I have to study all the Shastram properly. So then we go to some university or somewhere to study Shastram. We're thinking that because I have not studied Shastram properly, therefore I am lacking something. Actually it is not like that. It is very unfortunate those who have to go to Oxford or Cambridge and places like that to make spiritual life to go study Shastram there. It's a waste of time. That's gone. You can write it off. Nothing will come out of that. Instead, chitta shuddhi is more important in order that the Shastram to manifest inside, sadhana, upasana, nishta, all this is more important.
University cannot offer you that. And that is why it is mentioned like this, that there was in many instances, Mahalpa lived in an ashram there. And he had a few disciples who were taking instructions from him. So one of them, he was not very educated in Shastra. So he used to go outside and people used to talk to him, various things, ask different questions from him. And he felt that because of his lack of Shastric knowledge, he felt that he has to study Shastram well before he goes out and starts talking to others. And they said to him, people started telling him, you're not studying Shastram very much. So therefore he decided, he went back to his spiritual master and told him that I'm going out and talking to people, but they're all telling me that I'm not educated in Shastram. So I've decided to educate myself, he said to this Guru. So Guru told him that I'm not able to reply and therefore what should I do? So the question comes here that this is the general tendency among everybody, isn't it? First we come, we start studying books and start thinking that because I have not studied books, therefore it's a big shortcoming in me. Therefore I have to learn the books first and then I can do the things right. And studying is important, but at the same time, what should we study? That question will come. Acharya mentions to us, Samastha Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhudam, Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? He gave that name to Bhagavad Gita, Samastha Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhudam, because of Bhagavad Gita's position. Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gitamrata Mahat. So, in Bhagavad Gita, you have got everything. Whole Vedam is there, present in that. Jnanakandam is there, Karmakandam is there, Upasanakandam is there in these 700 verses. Including the whole Vedam is present in the Bhagavad Gita. So if you feel that, if you feel within yourself that I don't have so much time in life to study all the books of Vedam, Vedic literature, because people will start quoting from here, there, everywhere. Is it not? And you haven't got the time. Due to some prarabdham, you haven't got that situation. In that situation, Bhagavad Gita alone is sufficient. That is why Krishna gave us this Bhagavad Gita, which is a summary of all the Vedam. Whatever you have to learn from Vedam, you will get that from Bhagavad Gita. From Bhagavad Gita. Krishna put it completely into this package of Bhagavad Gita. So, and by continuously keeping that association with Bhagavad Gita, regularly reading, regularly reflecting on the Bhagavad Gita. So here, the four prominent prayers like Purusha Suktam, Sri Rudram, these are all famous prayers in the Sahasranama. All these are famous prayers in the Vedam. Now, to study all of them and to memorize them, and to recite them every day, we don't have that capacity to do that. We don't have the time, we don't have the ability to do that because we have got old now. So in end, if you learn all these things, and while chanting if it is full of mistakes, then such people, what Vedam says is, Vedam gets frightened when they see them. If you have studied all, because you haven't got that proper grounding in that at the early days in life, and it so happened that in the old days somebody started telling you that you have to study all these books, these prayers, these things, that thing, and if you start studying all that thing and if you do not practice them and recite them properly as the way it should be done, if mistakes happen, then Vedam will be frightened of you when Vedam sees you. Because you will murder the Vedam. That's why it is spoken like that. So that is why Vedam gets frightened about them. Vedam says that this person is going to kill me. Vedam will speak like that. And saying that Vedam will run away from us. So better not to go in that direction. All we need is what is the message from Vedam, isn't it? And that message Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is that message. And why we should unnecessarily, what we cannot handle within our capacity, why should we go and endeavor? This is the question. This is the question. These 700 verses in the Bhagavad Gita is more than sufficient, isn't it? So, Acharyas have studied Bhagavad Gita in depth, all great devotees, great personalities. They have written commentaries on that to make us help us on that path. And they have given as much elaborate explanation to verses to that. So whatever shortcoming we have for not studying Shastram, it's all compensated by studying Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. So that shortcoming, that I didn't study Shastram, will that be fulfilled? Will it be covered by studying Bhagavad Gita? That is the question now. See that verse when Arjuna has asked, Ya Shastra Vidimul Srijya Yajande Shraddhayanyuda Tesham Nishtaduka Krishna Satyam Aho Rajastama. What Arjuna is saying is that all these people will fall into this category. They didn't have the time, they didn't have the opportunity to study all the Shastram, all Vedic literature. Who can study? How many people have got the possibility of happening that? In our present state, we have to look at ourselves and see where we stand. Our situation is that we haven't got the knowledge of the Shastram, of the Vedic literature, and we haven't, all we are willing to do now in present state is, we can take one book, say Bhagavad Gita, and study that to the extent possible. We are willing to follow the path that has been laid out to us by the great devotees, acharyas, who have told us what to do. That much acceptance is possible to some extent, and we can follow one book. This is our capacity as far as we are concerned, isn't it? So, will this cover up this shortcoming in us? This is what Arjuna's question is. That a Shastra Vidimul Srijya Yajande Shraddhayanyuda. We are all Shastra Vidimul Srijya, are we not? We are not following Shastram. We don't know what Shastram is saying. Shastra Vidimul Srijya. But Yajande Shraddhayanyuda. We have some Shraddha in us for spiritual life. What is our destiny? This is what Arjuna is asking here. So, remember in Valmiki Ramayanam, Shabari story. Remember what happened to Shabari? Matanga Maharshi's ashramam. Shabari was, she was cleaning up the ashram. She was a woman who lived in the forest. It so happened, Matanga Maharshi's ashramam happened to be nearby Shabari's place of residence. Matanga Maharshi had his disciples there, Brahmacharis, they were living in the ashram. So somehow or the other, Shabari came into contact with this sage, Matanga Maharshi, and she decided that every day I will go there, clean up the ashram in the morning before everybody woke up. She felt a service nature like that attitude. And she started cleaning up Shabari, Madhaka Maharshi's ashram. Initially, Madhaka Maharshi didn't notice it. But then he started realizing that somebody is keeping everything very neat and tidy in the ashram. Who is doing this? He asked his disciples who were there with him, the Brahmacharis. Brahmacharis said, there is one lady who lives in the forest. She comes and does all these things. Without Shabari's knowledge, Madhaka Maharshi thought in his mind, let her have the good opportunity to meet up with Ramachandra. Shabari didn't know Ramachandra before. Shabari had no idea who Ramachandra is. He's coming from Ayodhya and Shabari is in the Madhaka Maharshi's ashram in the forest. What knowledge she has about Ramachandra? Who Ramachandra is? Nothing she knew. But because Madhaka Maharshi felt in his heart, this is why
this is how it this Shraddha Shakti works. Madhanga Maharshi, compassion for Shabari grew up, and Shabari Shraddha grew up in the ashram and Madhanga Maharshi. Seeing this Maharshi, Madhanga Maharshi and Brahmacharis, and living, seeing their way of life, Shabari felt some respect inside for them. They were very well behaved and very disciplined and very serious and very simple, very truthful and very compassionate. All the good qualities she started noticing in the Brahmacharis and Maharshi. And seeing Maharshi, she thought what a great personality he must be. In a natural way, the Shraddha grew up in her heart for Madhanga Maharshi. Madhanga Maharshi also, at the same time, that Shraddha that grew up in Madhanga Maharshi started working from Madhanga Maharshi's inside. You can see now when Krishna says in the Bhagavatam that that this spiritual master Antaryami, who comes from inside and stands outside as a person, Almano Guru Ratmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anivindane. It is that Shraddha Shakti inside, what was in Shabari's heart, has touched Madhanga Maharshi's Shraddha Shakti inside. So, Antaryami, Krishna who is inside as Madhanga Maharshi, Antaryami who is present inside Shabari is one, is not two, they are one. So, that Antaryami decided that Shabari should get the opportunity to meet up with Ramachandra. And naturally, what has happened was that she used to bring kushagras, darbha, and fruits and other things. And Madhanga Maharshi started taking notice of it. Somebody told Madhanga Maharshi that about her, about Shabari. And then Madhanga Maharshi told her, seeing her dedication and service attitude, you can stay in the ashram if you like, clean up the place and maintain this place. It was nice to have somebody to do that. And she has no concept even God, Shabari. Shabari didn't know that thing called God existed. Who is God? What's God? Nothing, no idea. And she won't understand also if you tell her anything. That was her state of consciousness. So Madhanga Maharshi, when he realized that, and for her, everything in this world was Madhanga Maharshi. She didn't know anything else. Madhanga Maharshi was for her God, for her spiritual master, and in every way. The Shastram, Vedam, everything is Madhanga Maharshi. That was her state of mind. So you can see at that time Madhanga Maharshi one day told her, I'm leaving, I'm going away. Where are you going? She asked. Where are you going? She says, demigods have called me. She had no clue what demigods, who's calling her. Because those days they had the capacity to travel, great rishis. So Madhanga Maharshi told her, I'm going to see the demigods. And practically he was saying, I'm leaving the body here and going away from here. At that time, Shabari started crying. She was so affected by that. And she started telling him, I don't know anybody else except you. In all my life, I have served you now. So many years she did the service to him and looked after him. And everything, she had so much faith in him, Madhanga Maharshi, she didn't know anything else. So she says to Madhanga Maharshi, take me also with you. Madhanga Maharshi says to him, but no, don't come with me. You are going to get a much higher, greater blessing. Good fortune is going to come to you, blessing from you. And so, the fortune what I have got is nothing what you are going to get. Madhanga Maharshi says to Shabari, Maharshi says to him, Shabari, maybe it is a little bit delayed, doesn't matter. Stay on here and do what you are doing. And God himself is going to come and see you, meet you here. And it was that Madhanga Maharshi's words that brought Ramachandra through that track, through that path. And then you know the story, famous, what happens, how Shabari offered fruits to Ramachandra to eat, and Ramachandra happily ate the fruit. So where is Shabari's qualification? What is Shabari's strength? What was Shabari's asset? That Shraddha. That Shraddha in Madanga Maharshi. That's what has brought her right up to the point of meeting up with Ramachandra. Just see that, the power of that Shraddha. Power of that Shraddha. So, important thing here is that so, when Madanga Maharshi left, Shabari was waiting for Ramachandra to come. And every day she used to bring flowers, fruits, everything, thinking that Ramachandra will come. But if he hasn't turned up by evening, she will eat the fruits. This is how she was. She will eat the fruits. So, she found out, Madanga Maharshi asked Madanga Maharshi, how will they be looking like? So Madanga Maharshi has told them, he won't be alone. There will be two boys, young boys, they will be. And they will be wearing matted hair. So he gave a description of a brahmachari description to Shabari. Madanga Maharshi gave. So Madanga Maharshi, in her own mind, she is imagining about Ramachandra and Lakshmana, in other words. So every day she used to tell the brahmacharis at the ashram, find out if anybody is coming. Two brahmacharis I am expecting, like you. Let me know when they are coming, is to say them. So, so you can see she waited rest of the life to see Ramachandra like that. And when all these things were happening, Ramachandra was not even born. Ramachandra was not even born at that time when Madanga Maharshi was saying this to Shabari. And Shabari was living like that. It is after that, 20, 30 years later, when Ramachandra comes to the forest. At that time, Ramachandra was not born. So, and not only that, King Dasharatha, he hasn't even performed his Putragameshti. Even before that, all this has happened in Shabari's case. All this has happened in Shabari. So, from that day onwards, this business has started between Madanga Maharshi and Shabari. This is how spiritual life is. We don't know, we from our material mind, we completely understand things in a different way. But you can see how the rishis, how powerful they were. Madanga Maharshi could see so much in advance things and say something with so confidence to Shabari. And suppose somebody has told us something like that, how much faith we will have? Imagine how much Shraddha we have. We are such people, even after seeing everything, we'll say, well, I'll have to check out through Google and then I'll confirm if you are bona fide or not. These are people like us. Is it not? This is our Shraddha. People are like that today. You say something, Venumadri was telling me that she says to children, grandchildren or somebody, they go and Google it first and check it out what you are saying and then say, oh, it's all imagination. Leave it behind. This is how people are today. So that is the way the world is today. But look at their Shraddha, Shabari Shraddha. How powerful that was. And look at Madanga Maharshi Shraddha. That he was able to say something to Shabari, which was going to happen much, much later in lifetime, in their life. So so it is an example of that Dirga Kala Nairandarya Salkarahido Dhridabhumihi. That is how it is spoken in the Upanishads. Dirgha Kalam, it is in the Yoga Sutram. Patanjali Maharshi's Yoga Sutram. Talking about Shraddha. That's what it is. In Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, Shraddha is spoken like this. What is that? Dirgha Kalam. A very, very long time. Nairandaryam. Nairandaryam means without any interruption. You can't allow anything to disturb your faith. For example, if you have accepted Bhagavad Gita properly, then you should be able to completely reject this modern education inside. You don't have to go and tell everybody, but within your heart. You should be able to fully convinced. You should not get a doubt when the scientists invent something else tomorrow. This is what happened, our purity, our lack of Shraddha. When they said that, oh, we have gone to the moon, we have gone to the Mars and this and that. Prabhupada said, no, you haven't gone to the moon, you haven't gone to the Mars, you haven't gone anywhere, he said. You have gone in somewhere in Arizona and built up something there and cheated the world, he said. Because all their theories, scientific theories, particularly about this, just last 2 days ago, they were talking about that They had done some experiment and found something out that they could say that that Big Bang theory, what happened? They found and now they know how the Big Bang happened, I believe. And immediately you could see BBC was interviewing the some big professors from Cambridge, Oxford, and they were saying what they have found out. Apparently some of their telescopes or something they were saying that have registered certain things. From there they can calculate exactly how old this universe is. At the moment they are saying it is 13 billion something like that, according to this Big Bang theory. But they can get it a little bit more corrected. And they are asking her, this one lady scientist and one male scientist, they were answering this question. Are you excited about it? Oh yeah, we are so excited about it. By getting this information, they are saying. So when you hear that, this is apara vidya, avidya. It's avidya only, nothing but avidya. But avidya makes people excited like this. So to that extent, to reject that, the Shraddha in the Bhagavad Gita is necessary. We have to accept what Krishna is saying. It's not out of sentiments, because Krishna science is a much bigger science than all these things. This science is coming through the senses and through their experiments, this is coming through. But what Krishna is talking about is something different than that. So, Shabari had no expectations. She was sitting. All what she knew was Madanga Maharshi, nothing else. Madanga Maharshi has told her, that's all. And the Shraddha was there in Shabari. So that was her only power she had for that. And that was her only strength. And do you think Madanga Maharshi Shabari has performed any sadhana? Because Madanga Maharshi could not even instruct Shabari on any sadhana. What's because she was so uneducated, she had no knowledge about anything. To such an extent, she was helpless about it. The only one and the only one thing what she had was her complete faith, Shraddha, in Madanga Maharshi's capacity. She accepted him totally, without any doubts in her mind. In her world, only Madanga Maharshi existed. And didn't know anything herself. So often she will call her brahmachari boys who were living in that ashram after Madanga Maharshi left and told them that look after, if you are looking for these two brahmacharis, they are coming. After a while, even those brahmacharis won't take her seriously, because they were thinking that this Shabari, what does she know? She is holding on to this one. Sometimes you see this in people. When you see their faith, after a while you start doubting about them, because our mind is working, isn't it? We start thinking, oh, he's saying something and can't take it very seriously. Sometimes it happens like that. And after a while they gave up on her. They won't give any attention to her. Long time passed and she became a more or less like a grandmother. When Ramachandra saw her, Ramachandra says to Lakshmana, look at that silver hair in her head. The whole hair has become silver colored. Like a silver hair it was there. So she started telling them, look, when the brahmacharis are coming here, please keep an eye on them. I'm getting old, I can't see anything anymore properly. She has gone that old. So the children, the brahmacharis told her, keep quiet, shut up. They told her like that. Don't talk, he said. And that means a long time has passed. Imagine that Ramachandra and Lakshmana, they have not come, but that waiting time, how long she waited, Shabari has waited. And in that waiting alone, she has enjoyed that waiting period, waiting for Ramachandra and Lakshmana. It is that waiting period that has ripened her. She was a nice fruit before because of her Shraddha. But with that Shraddha in her mind, in her heart, she waited so long, and that long waiting period has ripened her as a fruit. As a fruit. And that is her tapasya. And she has become a very sweet and ripened fruit. And
Ramachandra's presence, and Ramachandra was inquiring where is Shabari. See that Shraddha Shakti, how it has grown. When she became so old and she was getting very close to giving the body, by now Ramachandra was inquiring, where is Shabari's ashram? You see? Where is Shabari's ashram? Ramachandra was inquiring, where is Shabari's ashram? So you see how spiritual life works? It doesn't work on our external work, external efforts. It's all that things what happens inside. That Shraddha in Shabari, Shraddha in Madanga Maharshi, and Ramachandra naturally responding to that. So, Shabari was waiting to see Ramachandra. And when Ramachandra and Lakshmana, together they were coming to the Madanga Maharshi's ashrama. And when they saw Shabari, Ramachandra's happiness in the heart. Valmiki explains that in the Ramayana. After so many years, such a long period of time, Ramachandra is saying, I have seen you. Ramachandra says to Shabari. And what is the power of that waiting? Power of the waiting is that, or what is the power of our sadhana? That means, in that period of sadhana, or in that period of waiting, it doesn't have to be that you have to get something. You have to get something. What you are doing itself is your happiness in that sadhana stage. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says to Uddhava in one instance, that Uddhava, a devotee who has developed that spiritual life to this level, then he is not very particular about seeing me. He is just being happy in doing that spiritual activity, what he has been doing for the rest of the life, and he will do it for all time to come. But at the same time, he is waiting like a man who has worked a whole day and waiting for his wages in the evening to be paid. So that will be the mood of that devotee. And Shabari was in that state. So, whole through this life, she has executed her spiritual activities. Hearing about Ramachandra, thinking about Ramachandra, collecting flowers and fruits for Ramachandra. There is no other sadhana she knew. But she has learned one thing from Shabari, that to offer obeisances to someone is good, which was a physical thing. And she has done that. Without knowing Ramachandra, she was offering respects to Ramachandra and paying obeisances to Ramachandra, paying obeisances to Madanga Maharshi. This she did throughout her life. So, so Dhiyamana Abhigrihnanti. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Maharshi says this, that here, if you give something, people are not taking anything very seriously. That if you tell people, we'll give you liberation, we'll go to the heavenly planets, or some things like that, they are saying that we don't want anything. Devotee will say, I don't want anything. That Ramachandra, when she saw Ramachandra, she didn't ask Ramachandra, she wanted liberation. She didn't want anything, she just wanted to see Ramachandra. Ramachandra seeing all her purity in the heart and this long period of waiting, what she and that Shraddha in Shabari, Ramachandra sent her back to the spiritual world. And this is that a particular instant in the Ramayana, which is very interesting considering that there was no sadhana, but sadhana happened in a different way in life. Not the way it was instructed in a particular, you do every day so many rounds and so much deity worship. Nothing was told. Seeing her situation, Madanga Maharshi told him, this is what you do. And she accepted it. That is the power of Shraddha. That is the important thing to understand from what I'm saying. All these things is, if you don't understand Shraddha properly, when Krishna is now going to talk about Shraddha, in three modes of material nature, you will not appreciate it that Shraddha has a completely different dimensions beyond the three modes of material nature. Shraddha is such a powerful force, when it starts operating, the three modes of material nature withdraws itself from that. It goes beyond the three modes. And that is why when Arjuna asked this question, whether it is in the mode of goodness, whether it is in the mode of passion, whether it is in the mode of ignorance, these three modes of material nature is still under modes of nature. It's in the material nature it is. Is it not? Whereas Shraddha, once proper Shraddha has come, that Shraddha takes you beyond the three modes of material nature. Is it not? So, when Arjuna asks that question, and Krishna is answering those questions, Krishna has to bear this in mind. It is keeping that in mind, Krishna is answering that. That you will notice when we come to these verses. Normally, three modes of material nature is, when is three modes of material nature? In our bodily existence here, isn't it? Spirit soul doesn't have any three modes of nature. There is no modes of nature in the self. Sattvam rajastama idi gunam buddher na chalpana. Atmana has nothing to do. So if one has moved to pure spiritual life, like Shabari, like many others, in their spiritual life and Shraddha, what modes of nature can come there? So you have to remember Arjuna's question also requires a little analysis there. So all these things are implied in this Arjuna's question. It's a very interesting question. On the other hand, does Shraddha comes in Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamagunam? It does. That also we'll see. Where and whom Shraddha comes like that? That is what Krishna is going to explain from now on. So, so we will take up all that next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.